welcome to episode 6 of Comms Noise, Star Wars Armada podcast. I'm Chris, and with me today are...
Ben, hello.
And Ricky, good evening.
Okay, so episode 6, we're going to try a format today where we run through some upgrades, and we're going to try a bit of a mix here. Hopefully it will give some good advice to beginners and explain what's strong at the moment, what's good, what a lot of people take. Help them to get a feel why that's sort of taken, why it's good, and what you can do with it, what it works on, and what you can do to mitigate it or defend it. But also, hopefully, will be of interest to more experienced players. And we'd love to hear from you as well. It's a debate, so if you've got different opinions or you think we've missed anything, please do email and let us know. So this week, we're going to look at the offensive stuff. So we're going to look at the red, which is... Turbo lasers. Blue, which is...
Ion cannons.
Black.
Ordnance.
Offensive retrofits, which is the weird symbol. Like,
yep, the weird...
that weird
whatever
one.
Whatever it is. It might be an explosion. It might be a naval deck gun. It
looks like a little kind of...
Like it could be an umbrella being blown up inside out in the wind.
It's like a little mushroom cloud, like isn't it?
I guess we'll never know for sure what the hell that's going to be.
A ground cannon? I don't know.
Is there like a three... Yeah, it's like a three-pronged... you know, like a deck gun for like a World War One ship.
We'll go with that.
You know, this is a long, long time ago, so it predates World War One technology.
Of course, and that's why they basically all concern fighters because they're huge naval deck guns.
nice one, FMG. And then we're gonna look at weapons teams as well. So we all got our heads together and had a choice of the top three, and we've sort of mashed it into the ones that come up commonly. So we will start with the red, because I think they're probably the... I mean, arguably black, but the red are the ones that go on the most ships, I think. The most, just about.
Probably, yeah.
Because most ships have a red and a blue, or red and a black, don't they?
I can only think or of just a couple red. That don't even have a red.
Yeah, most ships
can have the red.
So maybe we should also do that as well. We should say what ships you can actually take these on.
Okay, that makes sense. What ones are let's start this off with turbo laser upgrades. Obviously, they fit on Imperial class Star Destroyers. They also fit on Victory class Star Destroyers. Arcturns light cruisers. All variants of MC-80. Both MC-30s.
No, just one.
No, both.
I think you had on both.
Both assault frigates.
You
I didn't know this game.
Both Neb Bs and the Corvette A. So that's a lot of ships. That's like 60-70% of ships.
Basically just not the flotillas, demolisher...
Pelter
one ship
and the Interdictor.
The Interdictor.
Demolisher with H9s.
And the Raiders.
So is that six different ships, of which four are pretty...
Yeah.
Pretty...
Underused.
Yeah. Underused. Or rightly, not underused. <Yeah. laughs> So, rarely used correctly.
That's the main common of the upgrade ships that you should and shouldn't use.
Yeah. And there's like... Week. There's something like... 11 or 12 different turbo lasers.
There is loads.
So there's a lot of them. So I think this is probably one of the most common upgrades to get right.
10 turbo lasers.
So what
they
did we
kind of have other uses? So I think there's a red one that
I've only used like a couple of times. Like I have no intention of using dual turbo laser turrets. No. I'm not going to use XX9s. I'm not going to use heavy turbo lasers.
I'm really enjoying quad turbo laser cannons, to be honest. But
yeah, they are good. But
not on our list.
But they, yeah, I think honourable mention to the quad turbo laser cannons.
So that'll be our wild card.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come to that when we come to the wild card then. So we've got in our top three, I picked TRCs, so turbo laser rewrote circuits. We'll go through what all these do in a second.
I think all of us picked TRCs to be on our list.
I picked H9s and I picked XO7, and I think you guys both did the same as well.
We've ranked them differently, but basically we all think they're the best turbo lasers.
Yeah.
So let's start with turbo laser reroute circuits, which we always call TRCs.
Yeah.
Because it's such a mouthful. What it says is, while attacking, you may spend an evade defense token to change one of your dice with to a face with a crit or a double hit. So that means you roll your dice in, you jiggle around with them, you spend your concentrate fire tokens, whatever you want, and then you spend an evade to turn one of them, ideally a blank hit, into a crit or a double hit. It's just so reliable.
Yeah. Super strong for small ships.
And red dice are fundamentally spiky. They're hit or miss.
Yeah.
This makes them non-miss. They're just hit.
You roll three red dice. One of them's going to miss.
Side.
And you're probably going to get hit, miss, or hit, crit, miss on three red dice. This turn, that doubles your output because your blank's turning to a double.
Yeah.
You've gone from 2 damage to 4 damage. It's incredible.
But there is very few. It works well on.
That's true. I mean, obviously, you have to spend a defense token. So it can
a cost, but it's not, to me, it's not a massive cost. For, well, if you've got multiple
not on
ships.
A Corvette A, which is the ship you see it on all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I've got two of
Imperial
tokens.
Can give an evade token.
Yeah, Imperial can put it on anyone with Captain Nida.
Yeah.
Which is that really when you see it the most, either on the Architans or a Captain Nida ship.
Well, the Architans is good because then Nida effectively makes them into a Corvette because he gives them a second evade token. So he makes them similar to the Corvette.
Yeah.
No, the reason you want that is because if you've got double arc, you want to spend them both, potentially, to do it on both your shots.
But chances are you're going to want just slave turrets on them.
Or if you have Akbar on the Corvettes, I've seen that as a valid tactic.
Yeah, then you're obviously not double arc.
But yeah, on the Architens, you might just want to slave turrets them. But the reason that you want the two is because even with the Architens, if you fire at, you only get one arc. You then want to have the other one defend the fire coming back in. Otherwise, you've got to burn the evade token.
Yeah, so you're giving up your defense. Ideally, you want to be able to use this without giving up your defensive abilities.
Yeah.
I think that's why you don't see them as often on Architans, because people tend to take Vader.
Yeah.
And if you've got Vader, you don't need. He makes your red dice more reliable.
Yeah.
So you don't need the TRCs to make them more reliable.
Yeah, sure.
But if you're going for a different strategy with your Admiral, then it's not a bad choice to go on an Architans. The other thing, finally, you can put it on is a Nebulon B. Which you don't see very often because
they only have one evade.
Because they only have one evade, and they're not really there generally there to do your shooting.
I like Salvation.
Salvation's good, but would you?
I don't think I'd put TRCs on it though.
I'd rather put Spinals on.
Yeah, because if you turn it to a crit, and then you get two hits for it being Salvation, it just hits the shields generally. It's rare that Salvation's hitting. You don't have enough dice to pin the redirects.
And you kind of need that evade on your neb.
Yeah.
If you're getting shot at long range,
yeah.
You can't take many hits on a neb, so you do want to dodge.
Yeah.
So basically we're saying TRCs are in our list because Corvettes with TRCs are amazing. That's basically what we're saying, isn't it?
Not so good for Imperials.
I do like them on Architans, I don't like using Vader.
Yeah.
I like to use other Admirals other than Vader.
Exactly, putting them on Architans is good if you're not using Vader. I still like sticking Nida on a Victory.
That's awesome.
And giving that TRCs.
Yeah, that's so good.
Because you don't need your two redirects.
Because the thing with Victory is, and I can say this as a veteran Victory player, is especially the black ones, it's great. You have to set that shot up in close arc so much. And in there, three red, three black sounds good, but it's never enough to kill anything.
Mm.
And then they get away from you. So you get one shot. So to have that extra little double.
Chase them down with the TRCs.
Yeah. Even that, or just that extra double, just to send them over, get the crit in.
Mm.
Maybe you get a nice crit that slows them down or cripples them or gives them extra damage. So you do, if you anything that makes a VSD more consistent is good. Because they.
Putting it someone with it on the ISD as well. That was pretty.
Damage. with leading shots or something as well, or some stuff to make it super.
Just chuck that extra two on top of the reds. It's like,
because one of your reds always misses.
And the other thing about TRCs we should say about TRCs is they work well with spam.
It's like if you have like 4 or 5 TRC Corvettes, it's just death by 1,000.
We are saying this, but you have to buy. What was the card? What does it come with?
So we should mention that. What set?
So it comes with the MC30.
Yeah,
which is frustrating. Oh yeah, we should have mentioned that. Actually, it does obviously. It is worth putting on an MC30 scout frigate. It's just you don't see those ships very often.
I saw a list of one of regionals last season when Akbar was the thing, and it was two. It was two scout. In fact, I think I took it against you, Ben, in that summer kit. It was a similar build. It was two MC30 scouts.
Yeah, with the red
Akbar.
Side dice.
Yeah, so the red side dice with Akbar. So 4 red dice and the TRCs. And two evades.
Yeah, that works because they have 2 evades as well. Just like a Corvette.
Yeah, and then if they get in close or you're trying to chase them up close, you've got 4 reds, 3 blacks.
Yeah, when you're getting close. So that's a hell of a broadside, isn't
that's, it? That's a lot of fire.
I was using these with
Sato, wasn't it?
Yeah, my Sato test game. I had 2 scout frigates.
But then you're turning the reds to blacks, probably, or something.
Yeah, exactly. So
blues, much more useful.
Did you have APTs?
I had APTs.
Yeah.
Long-range APTs.
That was the plan.
We'll come to that when we come to APTs, I guess. They're bad enough at short range.
We've probably covered TRCs.
So you can't, but the next kit you get it as a participation.
Oh, of course, yeah. If you just turn up to any of the spring kits, I guess it is.
Q1. They're called Q1.
Oh, right, so the Q1 kits, everyone gets a Turbo Laser Reroute Circuit. Yeah. And if you can chat up and snog your tournament organiser, maybe you can get theirs as well. You're a pro at
that, then, yeah.
Because they get one, and if they don't play Armada, maybe they'll give you their spare one.
You're a pro. Yeah, but I think... I don't know, if you play the game a lot and you're a good Rebel player, two MC30s is not a bad investment. No. Because two's good with like my Mothma, and you've played it in a campaign.
There's multiple builds.
And you get the APTs with it as well, which is another crucial card for spam that works well with spam that we'll come to shortly. So you're not just buying it for one card.
No, but generally we do share our TRCs around.
When we go to tournaments.
Because no one's got four or five of them.
No.
You've got to share the love.
True. Although, we like you say, probably at the Q1 kits, there'll be...
There'll be a lot more common.
We do take advantage. Like, when I've spoke to some people that have actually commented and sent us messages, and you try and like suggesting other things to play, you don't realise how hard it is for these people. They didn't have all the cards. They didn't have.
If you're on a budget or you're not in a group that's happy to share stuff, then it is hard to get the right stuff.
And it's expensive, Armada.
If you just want to play like Imperial players, you know, a guy who only plays Imperials doesn't want to buy an MC30.
Yeah. To get TRCs for his six architects.
Yeah, exactly.
That's something you want to say, like go and play like three of the Rogues and Villains packs. Well, you only get one per pack. Crap.
We always allow proxies, don't we, in casual games. But for tournaments, I've got I've lent out a few stuff to randoms I didn't know, you know, like that were at tournaments and stuff. Nothing too valuable, but hopefully people will indulge you.
Yeah.
All right, so what else we've got on the list?
Yeah, I suppose we should mention, actually, it's good that FFG, the participation cards, obviously it's nice to get the unique alternate art, but generally they do give out cards of the cards you want more copies of.
Yeah, they're not giving enhanced armaments or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. They're not saying, oh, you know, here's your extra XX9s or your extra engineering team you always wanted. Like, Jesus, how many... I've only bought one of each ship, probably about two architects, and I've got... Fuck me, five engineering teams. And I'm never going to use one of them.
No one's ever going to use any of them ever.
So we can safely say
we'll get
that
when we come on to
support teams.
We
will never use them.
So hats off to them for actually giving limited edition cards you want extra copies of.
Definitely useful.
TRC is going to be good. We have to go and find another tournament nearby.
Yeah.
Another one.
Another set.
So speaking of, we should probably do, I think H9s would be probably the next highest.
Yeah, I ranked H9s higher personally.
Yeah.
Because
in the current meta.
In the current meta, everyone uses flotillas and H9s are what you need. So I'll read that out. It's, while attacking, you may change one dice with a face of either a hit or a crit icon to an accuracy.
Yeah.
So that works on red dice or blue dice. Whereas the TRC only works on red dice.
And obviously it doesn't work on black because they don't have accuracy. It doesn't state they don't work on black.
Good point. So if you didn't, just
for anyone who's wondering why.
Probably is something they should have redone and said it only works on reds because it's such a great card.
Well, because blues guarantees you an accuracy for each.
Well, that's it, because with a blue, you either naturally roll an accuracy or you roll a hit that you turn into an accuracy. So
there's four hits, never two crits, and two accuracies on the blue. And you can do it on crits as well.
If you have H9s, that blue is guaranteed an accuracy.
If you want it.
Which, have you noticed there's a theme here? TRCs, guaranteed damage. H9s, guaranteed accuracies. We clearly, obviously, value the cards
that
just guarantee stuff.
Well, anything that takes luck out brings player skill in, back at the forefront.
You've got six turns in of a game. Two of them, you're not really in combat at the start. One of them at the end, you're usually not right in it. So really, you've got three turns of proper combat.
Yeah.
And you cannot afford for two of those turns to just fuck your dice and get nothing.
Yeah, you don't want to blank out. And like I was saying about VSD, you've got one shot when they're in your front arc, if you're lucky and you play it well. If you blank out on that, that's the way. They're getting away. They're away.
Saying all this with the
other ships as well, you know, ISD is much more renewable, but even that, you normally get one good shot at range before they're away from you or down the side.
Or even with MC30s, unless you're really good at getting them around, you only get one good double arc off before against the same target. You can fly up and get something else later. But.
So, what do we see H9s on commonly?
So, obviously, they can fit on the same. Almost any ship that has the turbo laser slot, but generally you're seeing them on MC30s because you've got all those black dice, lets you almost guarantee to kill a flotilla.
You don't see them much on Imperial ships, actually. MC30, I guess because we play Rebels a lot, so that's why we're rating it so high. Mm. But I can't think of a...
Well,
you could put them on ISD.
Obviously, a Gladiator would like them if it could have them, but it can't.
Yeah.
You could put them on an ISD, and generally, you're rolling eight dice. So you should get an accuracy naturally.
Four reds, which is a 1 in 8, and four blues, which is a 2 in 8, 1 in 4.
Raiders don't have any red slot.
So actually, like, you know, you've got
no.
such a high chance of rolling one with an ISD. It's kind of irrelevant. You could roll, you could run it on an ISD, on a Victory 2, but you just don't see a lot of Victory 2 spec'd out for for combat.
Again, you're in close to...
And then the Architon's not going to have it, really. Well, it might do.
You could have an Architon, but you're losing...
But you have so few dice.
Exactly.
That you're rolling your three red dice. Blank. One, you might roll a blank... two hits, which is a pretty average roll, and then one of those hits turns into an accuracy.
Yeah.
What have you really gained?
You're taking a shield off until they evade it at long range because you didn't lock the evade.
No.
So either way, having H9s doesn't actually help.
No. So again, it's, so really, it's a rebel-only kind of card.
It's a card you're generally going to see on rebels, but it is good on rebels because obviously, even if you're running a red dice Akbar fleet, guaranteeing one of those is going to be an accuracy is very good. If you're,
rebels like to be at long range, generally.
Yeah, because generally they have evades and they have more red dice.
But then the most strongest ship is the M330 blue guns, which
that's the one that makes the biggest benefit.
Yeah, the torpedo frigate.
Because it's got three blacks, two blues. One of those blues will be an accuracy guarantee.
And the blacks are going to do enough to do 4 points on the flotilla or five against the Motti flotilla.
Yeah, I think that's really why you're seeing it come around now. People didn't used to take it because it was 8 points.
No, I hardly ever saw it. Yeah.
And it generally didn't do you a lot of favours because you were dropping a damage... for that accuracy, but
and in the old, generally in the same old value world, because all the ships had a brace and two redirects, all the ships that mattered, you only ever wanted one accuracy. Two was pointless because they still got a redirect free. You just want that one for the brace, which they're probably ECM anyway. So actually having multiple accuracies was not, you'd rather have more, just have more damage once you got that brace.
We're just seeing it now as a way to guarantee killing flotillas.
Yeah. On one particular ship, really.
Does that work? So it's while attacking, so it works on anti-squadron as well.
It does, yeah. Obviously, you need two dice to have any benefit.
So you need
from
an ISD or a MC80.
On that one, I was testing the Imperial list because I threw that on there just for the fact.
Just to like kill Howrunner when she's left on one, but she's
got two dice.
Well, Scatter Aces are getting a lot more popular these days. People generally take both A-Wing Aces together, or they take Howrunner and Mauler, or.
Again, we get onto leading shots as well. That works on squadrons.
Nice, yeah. But you've got to spend a blue die to.
You do, but if you blacked or messed up two blues.
Well, some of the ships roll a blue and a black.
Yeah,
so you can re-roll that black.
Does anybody know what you get H9s in? Top of your head, it's a wave one star.
It's a wave. It's the Corvette. The MC. No, sorry. CR90 comes with it for sure.
Ship that it's terrible on.
It is terrible on the Corvette.
Why would you put it on there?
Probably one of the reasons why no one used it. Wave 1.
People are going to have multiples of these already. I
have four.
Yeah, if you've got that many in your pack.
Do you get one in the
got two Corvettes. So two of them came from Corvette packs.
It might come in the base
Corset. It probably comes in the Corset.
Yeah.
And then it might come with the Victory.
Was it Victory? Yeah. The picture is on the side of a Victory Star.
No, that's a Corvette.
You're right. Yeah, the red strip. Yeah.
So this is one that's not going to be a rare...
You should be able to get, if you're a rebel player.
I think
player,
you probably get one of the.
Well, this is a good one because, but we just said, you basically only have it with rebels and you get it on rebel ships.
Yeah.
So that's an easy one to buy cross faction if you only.
And you're probably only going to need two at most.
Yeah, I can't imagine everyone wanting to run more than two.
That's only if you're playing two.
Two MC30s.
Yeah.
It's probably all you're ever seeing them on.
And foresight.
I mean, it's not terrible on if you're running an assault frigate Akbar fleet.
Yeah,
I would probably consider
you've got enough dice out.
Because you're rolling like five or six dice, red dice, and you do want accuracies. Because if you've got double hits, they're going to evade those double hits.
Yeah.
So turning one of your single hits to an accuracy
just
nets you more damage.
Yeah, good.
And lets you take out flotillas at range.
Yeah, because that's the annoying thing about taking flotillas. Like, you shut the scat down,
and then
they just evade your best dice.
But then you probably aren't going to kill them anyway, because they can still dodge probably your double damage.
It'll take two hits.
It will take some,
But it's better than nothing.
It's true.
Yeah.
So then we all agreed after that our next favourite was the XI7 Turbo Lasers.
Now this goes on a lot more stuff.
Well, this is a card Imperial everything. Players definitely use. Anything that rolls a lot of damage can MCAE, consider wanting to take this
ISD.
Card. Yeah, like you, Defiance almost always has it.
Yeah.
ISDs often have it.
So you read out what it does.
And it's also good on the MC30s. When attacking, if the defender spends a redirect token, it cannot suffer more than one damage on hull zones other than the defending hull zone.
It's just so strong when you've got lots of dice, which makes it more confusing that it comes with the NetB.
Well, that's it. It only comes with the NetB.
It's really
weird.
You
can't get it anywhere else. Oh, and it's not a card you'd ever want to put on a NetB. Maybe Salvation, I suppose. But
and we say the NetB, it doesn't even come in the core kit with that NetB.
No, it's the extra, the second NetB you have to buy after the core kit.
So you're never going to have more than that probably as well. So you're going
to
have
one. But they did, back to our original conversation, they did make this as a participation.
Yeah, I've got three.
Because you sweet talked Kissy Kissy Jim, who doesn't play Armada. Did he give you both?
No, I've been to two events that have them.
Yeah, I think you came as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I've been to them. I've got two as well, but not three. But
no, yeah, one of them's a kissy card.
I can't believe it when he brought it over and just had it. I wonder. Well,
the thing is, like, you don't, because they go on the big ships, you don't really. I've never seen a fleet with three.
No,
two.
Now we've got like.
I think
two
is probably the limit. Two or three.
When 2SD lists were a thing.
Well, that's the thing, because now actually. Back in the day when it was big ships shooting big ships.
It was amazing.
You really wanted them.
Yeah, because everybody's got redirects and they're relying on their side.
So if you're trying to take down like an MC-80, you want to be hitting it with an
XO-7. XO-7s are lethal on the side of the Ararus as well. One shield.
Well, you can't redirect
it. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So there's no benefit
with shooting. Big shots. Big shots.
But yeah, big shots.
So again, a lot of people are going to have this card.
And also it can't be countered easily because the other problem is, the reason why people take this is because often people take ECMs on the big ships, which means even if you have an accuracy, they can exhaust that card to use one of their defense tokens. Whereas this doesn't mess around with defense tokens. It just says, use whatever defense tokens you want.
Yeah.
But, you know, so back in the day when everyone was running ECMs, they were guaranteed their brace.
Yeah, because
you can't stop their brace if they're ECM.
Well, you used to be able to. We should talk about that story. Advanced projectors used to say,
advanced projectors basically meant that you could redirect to anywhere.
It does kind of read that way.
And so they FAQ'd it so that XO7s trump advanced projectors, which is why people don't take advanced projectors so much anymore.
No.
Because there's not much benefit when they're running
XO7s. XO7s aren't so popular in the meta anymore because of like flotillas. They do nothing against like
flotillas. They don't help against fighters, which are both really strong right now. They do help against MC-30s.
But
again, only if you get a big hit.
Yeah,
that's where we're getting. There's not many big ships now, is there? You don't see.
It's less that way.
Yeah,
less that way.
I'm hoping for any 6 points.
Why wouldn't you stick it on your MC-80?
Yeah,
you know. If you're barring along with like your nine dice or whatever.
Or ISD, because you stick that in front.
You say that.
Yeah. You can one shot with ISDs, can't you? Because you can say, well, you know, if you've got two shields left on your front, you can only redirect one, so that's three shields, and then you're into the hull, there's a crit, there's three or four more damage because it's got loads of dice.
You say something like
you can one shot Corvettes and stuff.
I think the quad turbo laser. If you've got home one and you can put the quad turbo on something else, amazing.
Well, yeah, let's get into our honourable mention. Didn't quite make it into the top three because he has to combo it up with other things.
I don't like it because it's 10 points.
It's 10 points. Quad turbo laser cannons. This one comes with the Liberty, and it's while attacking, if you have at least one red dice with an accuracy, add another red dice with an accuracy to your attack pool. So it only works in very specific situations, but in those situations it is excellent.
You have to combo it.
So you can combo it up either with home one, which lets you turn one of your dice to an accuracy. So you're guaranteeing always getting it
home
off.
Home one doesn't work on itself, though.
No,
it doesn't.
You have to have two big guns.
Yeah.
Or the other combo is Liberty has two turbo laser slots. So it can take the H9s and the quads.
Nice.
And it's 18 points, which is super expensive, but you're guaranteed two accuracies.
Yeah.
And then you lead-in shots it if you want to re-roll them.
If you're in range.
Yeah. So another thing you can do is actually, you can add that accuracy into your pool, but if you don't need the two accuracies, you then use leading shots to re-roll those red dice in your pool. So it's basically giving you an extra red dice if you combo it with leading shots.
Or you take out a little flotilla from long range because you've just got two.
I mean, I have a list that I've been playing, testing a lot recently that is a Liberty with H9s, quads, and Ramus Antilles. So you go concentrate firepower, get the token, you're rolling.
Die and a reroll.
You're getting extra dice and a reroll. Two accuracies. It's not guaranteed,
that's an expensive
but it's pretty reliably killing two flotillas a turn with gunnery teams. And at long range.
And
doesn't even need to get close.
You can optimise your roll. If it's not a flotilla, you can optimise your roll to do a crit or go through the shields or something.
It's a very specific card. You wouldn't just stick it on a Star Destroyer.
I think for 10 points, it's not just a chuck-on card. No, you've got to have a plan for it. Whereas XO7s or TRCs is like an auto-include on Corvettes, almost. XO7s is like you could chuck it on a big ship if you've got
six points. You will always get some value out of it.
Yeah. And H9s, again, it's like if you're having problems with fatigues, it's an answer. You don't really need to do anything extra with it. But I think the quad turbo lasers are... Which is probably why they don't make...
That's why they didn't make the top three, really, because it's a very specific combo. Because if you're sticking it on, you might not roll... You're very unlikely to roll a red accuracy, like, naturally, and then in which case it does nothing.
Cool.
But powerful.
All right, so that's red. There are a lot of reds, so quite a hotly contested category. Moving down the range ruler onto blue.
Should be a much quicker discussion, because...
There's only one that's any good. Let's talk about that then, which again goes back to your point, Ben. This is another participation card from last season, and there seem to be hundreds of them because I think there might have been too many kits. But I've got like six or something promo cards because they were giving them a spot prizes at other regionals. So I've got like two for the tournaments.
I've only got two. I got tons.
So,
but it's more than I didn't think we were going to need more than.
Well, you get.
But this is a super rare. You get it in the ISD and in the home one.
Yeah.
And you must get it in something else, because I've got three vanilla ones. So maybe you get it with the Liberty as well, or maybe the Interdictor. I'm not sure. But you definitely get it with the ISD and the and the home one. And what it says, it's only 4 points. Oh, we didn't cover the points values. Oh, well. Sorry.
They're not much.
So it's four points.
Of the other...
I think we mentioned it.
You mentioned it was six. TRCs is seven.
Yeah.
H9s is eight, and XO7s is six.
Okay. So leading shots, only 4 points in the Iron Cannon slot. While attacking, you may discard one blue dice to re-roll any number of other dice in your attack pool. So again, it's another really reliable card. It makes your dice more reliable.
Another one for big ships with a lot of
dice. Now you've got an ISD rolling 4 blue, 4 red. You can. The problem with discarding a blue dice is a blue dice always has value. There's a blank side.
Yeah.
But if your reds have all missed, chances are discarding one damage on a blue dice to re-roll 4 reds should gain you a net positive result.
Again, blacks as well. But then you have ordnance blacks. Experts, actually.
Not many ships combo up iron cannons with blacks.
No.
But ships you see this on is, again, ships with a lot of dice. So MC-80s, Star Destroyers.
Yeah, because it's effectively like rubbish on a ship that has like a Corvette at the side, which is one blue, one red. It's
You might see it on a Raider. The 3 blue, 1 black Raider's got that slot.
Yeah.
Blank on the black.
Seems a waste for points.
It's a bit of a waste. Yeah. I think it's pretty more useful on the double black one, but that doesn't get the slot.
The good thing about that is it comes with Imperial and with Rebel ships. So if you buy the big ship, if you can only afford one ISD or one,
then you get
it with the ship you want
and
to use.
And you probably don't want to put it on a small ship. Exactly. So
you're going to get it with whatever ship you want to use it with.
What else is there that takes iron cannons? Because the MC-30 doesn't, the Corvette doesn't, the Assault Frigate doesn't. Is it for the Rebels, it's just the big ships. It's only the MC-80s and the Corvette B that can mount iron cannons.
Corvette B.
And no one uses Corvette B. So it's really just the two MC-80s that are going to use it.
It's an amazing card, but it only goes on the big ships.
Again, you probably don't want to put it on an Interdictor.
No.
Because the Interdictor rolls mainly blues.
Yeah,
you don't need to re-roll your blues.
Cool.
So really, the only ships you're going to see it on are Star Destroyers, MC-80s, and maybe a Victory 2.
Yeah.
I can see some value on the Victory 2, if you really wanted to take that ship.
Okay. So what else have we got in blue?
Is it worth talking about the others?
I had... two of us had Overload Pulse.
Yes.
We'll talk about that.
It's a very specific combo. Yeah. It's an 8-point, if you roll a blue critical hit.
You discovered something cool the other day, Ricky, which is it works on squadrons. Anti-squadron fire, right?
The Overload Pulse.
No, you were talking about a Leading Shots.
Leading Shots works on it.
Yeah, and so if you were rolling like a blue and a black, or if you're rolling two anti-squadron dice and they both miss...
I'm getting confused. You think of Avenger?
Yes. Oh,
right. Avenger works Avenger on that. So if you've shot at Tyke, and he's just gone, scat with a squadron, and he's
then Avenger can...
Avenger can just pummel him with the... Yeah, sorry.
But yeah, Leading Shots works on squadrons, which we mentioned earlier. So if you roll... Roll two dice and you miss with both, you may as well spend one of your blue. Because you don't tap this card to do it. Mm. So you can do it against for every shot.
Yeah.
Pretty good. So back to Overload Pulse. Blue critical effect. Exhaust all of the defender's defense tokens. Now, a lot of new players make the mistake thinking that the timing window.
Yeah.
So the way it does work is they spend their defense tokens before you spend your critical effect. Mm-hmm. So Overload Pulse doesn't benefit the ship which fires it.
Because 8 points would be a bargain.
It benefits every ship that shoots at that ship afterwards.
Yeah.
So getting the timing off on Overload Pulse is difficult.
Which is why if you have Avenger and Overload Pulse on the same ship...
I see a lot of lists
doesn't work.
That have that, and it just doesn't work.
Unless you've had Advanced Gunnery as your mission...
Yeah, if you had advanced gunnery and you didn't have gunnery teams, you probably picked that as your advanced gunnery ship.
And no one picks advanced gunnery. It's a real shame. I'm waiting for the day.
Someone's going to let you.
Yeah,
I've had a couple of advanced gunnery.
I've only done it once. Killed on ISD and
but it's kind of... It's 8 points, so it's expensive. Mm. I think it's great with Avenger.
Avenger
does telegraph your activation order.
Yeah, you've got to get the timing just right. You have to have
the
initiative, you have to have more activations.
It's brutal when it happens.
Yeah. If you get an interdictor with Overload Pulse off and then Avenger ISD fires, which means they can't spend their exhaustion
defense
tokens.
And if you look at like a ship like Admonition or something that's relying on its defense tokens,
screwed.
Like at long range.
Can Admonition still discard
it? It can still discard a token to get rid of a die, but still, it stops that doubling up combo.
So delivery systems for Overload Pulse. So basically, there's only three things that want to use it. It's Corvette Bees running in, getting their Overload Pulse off for everything else to benefit.
Mm.
So you could go first and last with that, maybe.
And
drive the Corvette Bee in.
You want the double up because you've got a 1 in 4 of getting a blue crit.
Yeah.
And you've only got 3 dice out your front.
I mean, imagine you concentrate fire on that turn.
Guarantee.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's not a guarantee.
I've never seen anyone do it.
People used to do it back in like wave 1 and 2 days.
When there weren't better options.
When their TRCs didn't exist. Basically.
Yeah.
I've only seen Matt use it on his...
It's good on Interdictor, and then Avenger shoots
it. Interdictor Avenger works, but you're so short on activations that it's really hard to pull off. And then the other thing that you don't see very often, but could theoretically work, is the Raider 2 with Overload Pulse.
With 3 blues, yeah.
Gets 3 blues out the front, 1 out the side. Could work.
But at least that would be quite cool because if you've got like an MSU, like a multiple small unit ship list, one raider, you can have a couple of pops out with 2 raiders, and then your demo or your other raider comes in with no defense tokens.
Yeah, exactly.
Or defense tokens all exhausted and just.
I've never tried it, but I can see that working in theory.
It only really works for big ships and big dice pools, and you need to focus fire on the thing you do it to.
Yeah, so you need a little thing to do it, and then a big ship to follow up.
Yeah,
that's the theory, really.
Yeah, so it's pretty niche.
And then
we had MS1.
I put MSM1 on there because they're so cheap. It's 2 points, and it's a blue crit effect to exhaust a defender's upgrade card. So it's super niche because it only affects cards which are exhausted.
Yeah.
Which aren't many.
But there's ECMs.
Would you not rather just have a crit instead of using that?
Well, if they have their shields up, your crit does nothing.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
So it's like an early game card where, like...
Never, ever seen it.
But, like, because you trigger it after their defense tokens, it's crap against ECMs, right? Because they just use the ECM.
Well, it forces them to use their ECM on that attack.
Okay, so
means if you then have an MC-30 coming in or a big star or a demo hit...
Yeah.
It's basically kind of like an Overload Pulse,
but
for ECMs.
Yeah.
But also, other cards that you might not have thought of are Engine Techs. You can't use your Engine Techs if you've been hit by that.
Yeah.
You can't use your dual turbo laser turrets.
And it hits that really big title card, Interdictor,
That would be actually useful to knock
one
out.
One in the regionals we went to at 47th. No, was it even one in 47 fleets?
It hits Intel officers.
Yeah.
They
don't see them as much anymore.
No. But that's the thing, yeah.
But yeah, there's a few.
A few
bits of bobs in
there's
there.
There's someone else as well.
Was a great
Wolf Yularen.
Yeah.
He taps. The other guy who's like Wolf Yularen's little mate, Commandant Ardesco.
Yeah.
He exhausts.
Sleeping Rebels.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
some incompetent
Imperial officer from Rebels, yeah, as they all are. So yeah, I mean, it's super niche. Like, chances are you might run into a game where they don't have a single card that MS1 could affect.
I guess,
but it's 2 points.
Depends, doesn't it? If you're trying to get a bid, 2 points is important.
Yeah. If you're having a lot of trouble with engine teching demos,
yeah.
Or
tractor beams as well.
Yeah, tractor beams.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
That's about it, isn't it?
So I had SW7s in there as my wild card. I don't know. What else have you got?
High capacity.
High capacity. Should we look at that?
Yeah, I mean, high capacity is kind of expensive. They're 8 points. and they give you plus one blue out of side arcs.
Yeah, I was like, and they're a modification as well, so you can't use tractor beams or.
There's a lot of other cards you can't combo with them.
Yeah.
I just think they're a bit expensive because the only ships you want to put them on are generally cheaper ships, and then the 8 points are such a high proportion of their base cost.
And also, like, if you put them on like a big ship, like an ICT, to make the side arcs better. You want the front arc to do the damage, don't you?
Yeah,
you
exactly. And you want leading shots on the big ships, which is half the price.
Yeah.
Again, so leading shots, pretty much.
Yeah.
The only blue you ever.
I've got a wild card, which is SW7 ion batteries, and especially I think this combos well with one of the turbo lasers we were talking about earlier, which was the wild card there.
So this one is 5 points, and it's when attacking a ship, each of your unspent blue accuracies. Deal one extra damage.
Yeah.
So it doesn't combo so well with the quads.
Is that only red, is it?
That's only reds.
Okay.
But it does mean you use your red accuracies to lock their tokens, and then your blue accuracies become damaged.
The thing I like about it, I still think it combos well with either the H9s or the reds one, it means your blue dice are guaranteed 4 damage. So all you need to do is get one on a flotilla. All you need to do is get your 2 accuracies, hit their tokens, 4 damage dead. Guaranteed on your blues. You'd have to reroll, you'd have to use leading shots, you'd have to do anything, because you either get a hit, which is damage, a crit, which is damage, or accuracy, which is damage. So
if you wanted to make a dedicated flotilla hunter, I suppose...
It just makes you really consistent. Yeah. It makes you, and it lets you, gives you the flexibility to use. I'm not saying it's like a... It's not nowhere near a category of must use, but I've seen it to good effect with XO7s as well. Fought against it in a tournament back in Wave 2, and it was very good because this is obviously XI7s, it was basically guaranteeing that you would get 6, 7, 8 damage was basically your minimum on your IC, so you're guaranteed to get 7, 8 damage with XI7s.
And if everyone was running ECMs, then you knew that they were going to get their brace off no matter what, so your accuracies had no value.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense. I can see that.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a wild card there.
Five I guess if you're running bad. Vader, and which gives you more reliability on your reds anyway, then you don't need leading shots.
Yeah.
So then I can see it has a place there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was on the list I saw it used was two ISDs, and they both had gunnery teams, and they were literally side by side. So it was two front arc. They were double front arcing two things each a turn. Like, and they're basically saying, well, there's 7 damage, 6. I think the average, if you roll with the 4 blues and the 4 reds, would be what's the average damage output on a red? Like 0.8,
0.6 something.
Yeah, so 0.7. you're looking at 4 from your red, your blues plus
3,
maybe
from
3
your
or 4. So it's something like it's between 4 and 12, isn't it? Because you could double,
but
so it basically takes you from an expected value of like 4 or 5 to I have seen some rolls where
sometimes you just roll 4 accuracy
exactly. Yeah. And you go, oh my god, and then blanks, and you're like, what is that?
Yeah.
It just takes
so
that
more reliability
right.
again.
It gives you that reliability.
Against, that reliability is only true against big ships with ECMs. Because otherwise you do probably want those accuracies.
Yeah.
It's going to evade the scatters.
Yeah, it's a wild card out there. I could see it having more use with more if bigger ships come back, but...
I can't see that happening. I don't know how they can do it. Unless they bring them back cheaper.
No, I think they'll bring them back once they tone down fighters.
Yeah.
Not tone them down, but like give you more ways to get rid of intel. I think big ships will make a comeback.
Any others that we wanted in there?
No, I think otherwise really we'd just Let's be like move, struggling to move justify cards here. We never actually use.
Let's get on to black then, another category.
So there's only 5 black cards, so more than half of them are making it into the top 3 by default.
Okay, so the 2 that aren't are pretty bad, right? Only through expense.
So we all agreed number 1 was APT.
Yeah, this is like similar to leading shots, isn't it? It's just a standout.
So assault proton torpedoes. Again, you only get them in the MC30, which is a bit of a kick in the nuts for Imperial players.
Hopefully Q2 participation
hopefully. And it is a black critical effect. Deal 1 damage card to the defender. Face up damage
it's
card.
It's a picture of Demolisher getting what it deserves. Yeah, that's what the next fact needs to be.
So an important thing that a lot of people don't see about this card is that it's not that... Okay, the obvious benefit is you're doing a face-up damage card through shields. Mm. Great. That's why it's good. But this damage card is in addition. So the regular critical hit says that one of the damage cards you deal is dealt face-up. Whereas this, you doesn't spend your crit, it just uses the crit effect to add an additional face-up damage card.
Yeah.
So it nets one additional damage as well as making it face-up.
Before you incur the other damage. So if you get a crit that's like lose all shields on a hull zone or something, you can lose the shields. Seen that happen before.
Yeah, and then...
You did it to me.
Did I?
Yeah.
Ah, oh, that's sweet.
So you do your special through the shield crit, but the shields drop, and then the rest of the damage all hits the hull. And this extra point of damage doesn't count for your brace token.
Mm.
So
no way to stop it.
So it's basically, you'd expect an upgrade.
Oh, there is. You can stop it with that damage control team or whatever it is now.
You can stop that whole effect from happening. Yeah.
Yes, you can. Yeah. But what I mean is, if let's say I do 6 damage and a black crit with this, so that's going to be 7 damage total.
So
A better example would be if let's say I've done 5 damage, which is actually pretty average for an MC30. And done this crit, it's going to be a total of 6 damage. But your brace only takes 2 damage off of that. It drops my... So I do 5 damage on the dice, which drops down to 3 damage after the brace. And then the crit comes through to make it 4 damage.
Yeah. So what we're saying is, this gives you, through the shields, it gives you an extra damage, and it's made harder to mitigate through brace. So it's not just it's an extra damage is better. So you'd expect something like this to maybe be... You'd expect, if there was a card in blacks, so it was 13 points, you'd expect this one to be it, right? Yeah. And how many points is it?
Only five. It's the second cheapest one. I think it's actually slightly undercosted.
It's a little bit overpowered, isn't it?
If it was 8 points, I'd still take it.
The thing is, it's probably 5 in an environment where you need the black crits, you only get 1 in 4. In an environment where you've got Ordnance Experts and...
That's true. So when comboed up with Ordnance Experts, or Screed, or Vader,
so many rerolls for black
dice. So many ways to get your black crits off.
And that only comes in the MC30, but you can get it along with your Turbo Laser reroutes.
Well, that's it, yeah. You've got 2 amazing cards in that.
But the issue with that card was, not so much now, but in Wave 2, one of the most popular Imperialists was 5 or 6 small ships, Raiders, Gladiator, with every single one had one of those. So are you going to buy 6 MC30s and then not use any of those MC30s just to buy the card to put on your Raiders ships?
Yeah, so, that's one thing I don't like about this game. It's actually holding the good cards hostage.
Yeah. Well, like we said, on some of them, on a lot of them, they've done okay, but this is an example where they haven't.
Yeah.
You know, Leading Shots comes with the ship you're going to use it with, but this is...
One of the tournaments coming soon is going to be... It's going to be one of these.
You are
either that or
ACM. Just the next ship that comes along. Because I'm kind of surprised it didn't come with the Pelter, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think that would have been nice.
Yeah.
Instead of come with...
Or the Raider as well. Like. Yeah.
So what else does this... So basically the targets for this are MC30, it's great.
Gladiator. It goes on the MC30, it goes on a Gladiator, it goes on... Well, basically anything with that slot makes benefit.
It goes on Victory, doesn't it? But don't see
you can put it on a Victory, and it's not a bad choice for 5 points.
Yeah.
You put it on a Raider, which is actually pretty cheeky. Little Screed Raiders with torpedoes.
Don't see any Raiders about them.
You don't know. If the Raider was better.
That's like saying that MSU list, the multiple small unit list, was, I think it was like 4, it was 3-4 Raiders and a couple of Earth Gladiators.
Yeah, 2 Gladiators.
And all the Raiders would have them, and you'd have Screed, so you'd just spend
the blue.
That
makes them such a threat.
You'd go and smash something. You'd lose a Raider, but because they would activate and kill you, but you'd do 4 crits on it through the shields.
Yeah.
And
that kills an MC30 straight off the bat.
Yeah.
4 hull damage.
Well, I tried running them the other day and I stuck sensor team on it.
Oh, to guarantee an accuracy.
Yeah, because it's one. If you do the extra dice with Screed, you kill a flotilla. You can kill a flotilla with one extra dice. No, 1 extra dice and...
Second, what are you saying? So you concentrate fire, you mean?
Concentrate fire.
So you're rolling
5 dice.
Two blues, two dice.
Because you've got to lose one for sensor team.
Yeah.
You lose 1 for Screed.
Yeah. So you've got 2 black dice, one of which is guaranteed to be a crit.
Yeah.
So that's 3 damage in total, isn't it? Because you've got 2 damage on the dice plus 1 for the APT.
Uh-huh. So that's 4.
And then what, the extra black dice has to hit?
Yeah, you have... Oh, the blue, sorry.
So one of your dice...
The sensor team's turning one to...
You can just use 2 blues, yeah.
Oh, I see, yeah. No, the fact is, there's basically no way you can mess that up.
It's a guaranteed kill of a flotilla if you can get your Raiders there with that.
At close range.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in not bright hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Motti.
Yeah. Although if it's either Bright Hope or Motti, you could probably get the ram off.
Yeah. Or the side. You could shoot him again, possibly,
or
with the
Bright Hope
back.
In the backs. Yeah.
Interesting. I hadn't thought that build. That sounds good.
It isn't.
Because the Raider gets shot
before it gets killed just by standard squadrons that aren't even bombers.
Or someone fires an assault frigate at long range and one shots you.
Two
of eights, it just does.
If you get into medium range or anything with like four or more dice, you're dead.
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the Raider this episode.
No. So that's APTs covered, and that's blacks, right?
Pretty much,
yeah.
ACMs so I think are good. I like ACMs. I think we all had ACMs in there.
ACMs are good. I mean, everyone used them before.
So far behind.
So the ACMs are the the assault concussion missiles, which are 7 points, and they're a black crit. Each hull zone adjacent to the defending hull zone suffers one damage. So again, this gets past the brace because it's two extra damage that isn't part of your damage pool.
Mm-hmm.
So it has the same advantage of sneaking under the brace. And it's two extra points of damage, which is great, but it's spread out.
And if you can double arc with this card.
Yeah, that's
and if you've got multiples sick. Of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like sandpapering a ship to death.
Absolutely
yeah.
nasty.
And it's obviously killer against a neb. Because if you get two shots on a neb, then you've takes off the side shields, the second one is two extra hull points.
Yeah, it's done, isn't it?
Yeah. And the neb's obviously relying on
I agree with you, Ricky. I think they're still good. It's just
doesn't work on its own.
The APT was fairly priced, this would be competitive for it.
I agree.
Because the APT is just so underpriced.
And if you're running one of those lists where you've got three or four ships with these upgrades, those 2 points actually add up pretty quickly.
Back on actually the APTs that we didn't mention. So there's a couple of admirals it combos well with. Yeah. I'll talk about the Donna because I've used it a lot with him. That's amazing, although I never seem to get the one I want. But getting four, flying up to something, you're going first, you fly up to it, you've got all the text bits, so you're basically guaranteed it. You do it, you look at the top four, and you pick what you want to the situation.
Double damage. Really strong with Dodonna.
And it's strong with Sato, because you can launch them from long range.
You talk about that, because I've not used that.
I really want to make that card work, that you do two crit effects, but it just doesn't...
No.
It's not better than Ordnance, which we'll get onto later.
So with Sato, you stick it on a scout frigate, which gives you two red dice. You concentrate fire for three red dice, and as long as you have your squadrons in range, you convert two of those to...
two blacks.
So before you do anything, you have your two red dice. You convert one of them to a black, one of them to a blue. Then you add your concentrate fire to add an additional black dice.
Yeah.
So now you're rolling two blacks and a blue. The blue has... You've got H9s on that build, so the blue's guaranteed an accuracy.
A reroll if you've got leading shots.
You can't fit leading shots on that. You don't have the slot. Obviously, if you're shooting at something that doesn't have an evade token, you're just rolling three blacks.
Yeah.
But if they do have an evade token, you add the blue in there to lock out their evade. Then you've got ordnance experts to reroll your blacks. Hopefully, you're rolling your crit. And you basically, from long range, you've just given them a through-the-shield crit effect. It's pretty powerful, but it's expensive, and you need your fighters at range one to pull it off.
Yeah.
But the fleet I ran had two of those, and then...
that APT hurts so
and
much.
A pelter with the same.
It hurts so much when it happens. Mm. To get it from long range.
Well, that's it. You do it at long range, and then you drive up at fast speed, and then you do it at short range with five blacks. Ideally a double arc, so you're getting five out the side of three out of... Is it three out of
three? I hijacked assault concussion missiles there, but that just shows how good the APT is. So much to talk about in ordnance.
So it's another one of those colours that just...
And obviously it's good for Screed.
Kind of picks itself.
Because Screed can guarantee the crit.
I do like the ACMs, and you spam them against me the other week, Ricky, and it just does sandpaper the ships down so quick, especially small ships. You can get one shotted out of nowhere if you get a good roll.
Do you want to redirect your shields after you've just lost one already?
Well, that's it, because Corvettes rely on their redirect to stay alive,
and
this just kind of cancels that pretty hard.
Especially when you get another arc with it.
Mm.
And then you're just guaranteeing that extra damage.
Yeah, they are good. I think it's just because the torpedoes are under-costed that it makes the missiles look worse than they are.
I like ACMs, but I know APTs are really good. And we're saying, the abbreviated names again, aren't we?
Yeah, well, as long as we've explained them so the guys can work out what's what. So the assault concussion missiles, what do they
come in? They definitely come in the Gladiator.
Yeah.
And let me count how many. And they come with the Raider.
Cool. Which is
the two ships you would probably want. You can stick them on a Victory 1. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
But you probably wouldn't because you stick with APT.
If you've got them.
You have them on a Victory 1 and XI7s on a Victory 1, and then
it's true.
Like,
Yeah,
just stop really doing anything.
Yeah, the XO7s are pretty fun on a victory one, actually, because that is a lot of damage in there, one shot.
And then that's pretty much it. Yeah, there isn't really an obvious third, is
there? I think I've been trying to get Flechette Torpedoes to work, but I haven't. The Raider doesn't stay long enough to get any value out of them.
Because it's only the Raider that can actually use
them. And the Pelter.
And the Pelter, yeah. They come with Pelter, right?
And the Victory.
No. But you have to have black anti-squadron to do it.
No.
So it's really just the Raider and the Pelter, because anything else with the black anti-squadron doesn't have the ordnance. No.
Does the ISD-1 not? It doesn't have
no.
it,
does it? Oh, no. Hold on, it might do.
ISD-1
have it? No, it doesn't have an ordnance slot. No.
Weak.
So,
this is what I was trying to test. Problem.
Flechette Torpedoes are great, except the only thing you can fit them on
Readers.
Is bad.
So they're probably a wild card. Like, as soon as we get a ship that's a bit more durable, that has black anti-squadron,
yeah.
and an ordnance slot, they might work.
Then they'll probably come back. Or if there's just like an officer card that comes out that makes your Raider a bit tougher or something, maybe.
And the other two things in there, we won't talk about them at length, but they're bad for... They're good, but they're just way overpointed.
So I think
they're modifications.
We've got expanded launchers, which I think is a trap for new players, because I see a lot of new players taking it in their lists.
Yeah.
Expanded launchers is 13 points, and it gives you 2 extra black dice out of your front.
Which would be great for like 4 points or 5 or 6 points.
Yeah, it looks great on a Raider. I mean, on a Demolisher, doesn't it? Because you've got Gladiator, because it gives you 4 black, 2 red, which is kind of terrifying. But on average, those black dice are only going to give you 2 extra damage.
Yeah, and they could probably get braced anyway. To 1 damage.
And you think about it, your torpedoes are guaranteeing you a damage and a crit effect.
So what you're saying is the expanded launchers for 13 points are probably going to give you 1 extra damage. And your assault proton torpedoes for 5 points
are going to give you 2 extra damage.
Well, no, 1 extra damage and a... because if you double arc,
the
torpedoes are giving you 2 extra damage.
And you can't brace it, and it's through the shields.
Yeah, and it's a crit effect, and it's a third of the price.
So don't take expanded launchers.
Yeah, so if you're not convinced that expanded launchers aren't good, and expanded launchers is a modification...
Rapid reload. I love the idea of expanded launchers on Raiders to make them these sort of crazy glass cannons, because you'd roll 4 black, 2 blue out the front. But it's just, it's almost half the cost of the Raider to upgrade.
One thing I do like these on, this is back in Wave 1, you wouldn't probably take it in a serious tournament now because 13 is prohibitively expensive. Mm. But again, VSD-1 with XI-7s and expanded launches.
Pretty cool. It's just too expensive, isn't it? Expensive. That's the problem. Because you're really only going to get to use it once or twice.
Yeah.
And then Rapid Reload is similar. It's 8 points. For an extra shot out of each side.
Yeah. The trouble is, how often are you using both sides?
That's even less value than expanded launcher.
Because generally, you're double arcing with your front and your side.
Yeah.
So you're not getting both sides
off. Demo, that's what you're doing when you move.
Yeah.
After.
So you just don't get it off enough to justify
it.
It's too expensive because it takes up your same slot as your special missiles, which are going to give you way more value at the end of the day than 1 extra black dice.
Modification's just not worth it.
I think it needs to be cheaper because it's the same. It's only 2 points cheaper than enhanced armaments,
which is red.
So you get so much more use out of enhanced armaments.
Yeah. Nobody uses enhanced armaments because of the strength of the red category.
Yeah.
I used enhanced armaments in wave one. Was it
wave
the assault
one.
Frigates? Was it
yeah, the assault frigates.
It was all right on the assault frigates.
If you spend 10, I would still take quad laser.
Yeah, nowadays, definitely. I mean, it's enhanced
different environment.
It's terrible, but back when it first started, your options were enhanced armaments, H9s, and maybe that was it.
That was it, I think. I know, XO7s from your nibs.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, so we'll look at the offensive retro. So we just split, I think there's 10 upgrade
categories.
There's 10
slots, we've split them into two groups.
Yeah, we just split them into two groups. We'll do the other 5 next time. We've just put offensive retrofits and weapons teams in because they tend to combo with...
Because they feel like they fit with weapons.
Exactly, they fit with offensive.
So offensive retrofits, I've got a little rant about offensive retrofits before we start. So generally speaking, there are some exceptions to this, but as a rule... Imperial ships get offensive retrofits and Rebel ships get defensive retrofits, which sounds great, makes sense. Imperials are all about coming to get you and Rebels are about trying to stay alive. I like that concept as a theme, but holy shit, the defensive retrofits are like so much better than the offensive retrofits. It's really disappointing that there aren't better offensive retrofits.
Well, I think there's some tricksy stuff you can do. We'll go through and I'll shout out there's a few.
Did anyone add bits and pieces? None of us put rapid launcher at B because none of us actually
We don't know the rules are yet.
No, I've been theory crafting fleets around it, but they just never seem as good as...
Well, it also depends. I'm not sure we want to get into it until there's a
classification.
But effectively, I think we could summarise it by saying there's a debate over whether you deploy the squadron as an activation, so you get to deploy it and fire it as one of your squadron activations, or deploying it costs you one of your squadron...
And then you have to activate it
again with something else. Either one works okay, but you have to build your list depending on which one.
Which way it works. Because the card is super vague, and I can see why there's so much debate.
So I don't think we
won't get into it until there's an official ruling.
There's a proper ruling, because it's...
I do hope it is deploy and not fire. I really do hope.
Why?
Just to stop people driving up and giving you the B-wing lethal injection.
Well, that too. Yeah. You're turning any
you just drive up with an engine taking...
Skurg, or what is it, Nim.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Like an MC-80 with engine techs just boosts up to you and drops four B-wings off that shoot you.
Drops Nim.
Kian.
Yeah, and two B-wings or something like that. And then Yavaris goes... Yavaris dumps a...
Then just two VCXs fly up. Yavaris can remote...
Yavaris is flying along the base line.
Adar Talonin? With Adar Talonin on the MC-80. No. So yeah, the Yavaris...
It's a bit of a one-trick list there, but I built that list. And it was...
And then all your friends...
I didn't play with it.
Hated you.
But I looked at it and just thought, this is... A, it's just one trick pony, and B, there's so many things that can go wrong with that trick.
I'm waiting to try it.
I really want to have the MC-80 right in front of all their stuff as well.
Yeah, and you're having to have enough intel following up behind them.
Anyway,
we're not talking about that card because we don't know how it works.
So maybe next time we've got Expanded Hangar Bay.
We all agreed Expanded Hangar Bay was good. Which is 5 points. Comes with wave one stuff.
It
comes in the core set and the victory.
Yeah.
And it gives you plus one squadron value, which is great because it affects your base squadron value.
Yeah.
So that means things like fighter coordination teams, something they're called.
Yeah.
They only trigger off your base value, which this increases.
The one that has the dice
There's another one.
So that's 5 points.
5 points, basically. And it combos well with flight controllers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So flight controllers, obviously...
The main reason it makes it good is because you're looking for that big alpha strike, lots of squadron stuff to go first, kill out their squadrons or cripple a ship.
And exactly.
That difference between your ISD with 4 and 5, or 6 with the token, is actually that extra squadron, especially when you're talking like a bomber...
Yeah.
With bomber command centre, like 2, 3
definitely
extra crit, it makes a big difference before they get a chance to respond.
It is the best offensive one, I think, by far. It's...
Yeah, you see anyone you really see consistently. You used to see a lot of boosted comms, but
it's still very good.
I think it's getting phased out now. Relay
is just. I think they'll do something in the FAQ for relay. I kind of think relay should still be that it needs to be in range. I don't think it can relay.
Anywhere on the board.
That just seems broken, and I don't think that's what
the way
they
it is, man. That's what they wrote.
It just makes sense that you're relaying from your range.
Yeah. I played a guy in the regionals who thought it was it just extended the range from the ship.
Yeah, so you had to be in range of the lambda.
Exactly.
And then the lambda extended your range. Yeah. That makes perfect sense to me.
It's still but it isn't strong. The way it's written.
That would still be great. But flotillas just activating ships when they're the other side of the board.
It's a bit grim, yeah.
Yeah, I do hate that.
But that's
Admiral Flotilla flying away from the battle, commanding squadrons remotely.
You can only do what you've got to work with, can't you?
Them's the rules.
I mean, you could go to the tournament and you could be principled and say, I'm playing the fluff. Good, you just lost. Boosted comms, let's talk about that one.
When you do a squadron command, you may activate friendly squadrons at long range instead of up to medium range. So, you know, it gives you like an extra 2 or 3 inches on your squadron command, which is great.
Really. Until Relay came out.
Until Relay kind of replaced it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still good. Like, if you don't want to take Relay, then it's still a good card. I mean, my super boring tournament winning list still uses boosted comms instead of Relay. Still has a place.
Yeah, yeah, and that's another thing that... that's a good example of using Expanded Hangar Bay was your super good choice because you get that six jump, like you can go, I'll go first and I'll my first activation is I'm an ISD
and six squadrons.
So it's like
200 to 250 points all activating in one go.
Yeah. So you can hit something and it doesn't hit you back.
So you either hit something with six bombers or you use your flight controllers, activate six TIE fighters with flight controllers to just hit like a ton of bricks.
Just kill all their fighters.
It's really strong.
So the other stuff we had was...
There is another one that replaces that, by the way, boosted comms. There's the one that lets you activate after you move, which is also...
True. That has kind of replaced the boosted comms as well.
Yeah, good point. That's in the support teams, which we'll come to next.
No, that's an officer slot.
Oh, is it?
There's an officer.
The one that's...
Again, it'll be next week anyway. We don't think we have officer on it, but yeah, we can chuck it.
Yeah. We had quad laser... I think we...
Don't use it often at the moment, but I think it could be strong.
I think there's one major problem with quad laser turrets that stops me ever wanting to use
Lider.
It's Rhymer.
So
we read the card.
Quad laser turrets are 5 points. While defending at distance one, if the attacker is a squadron, you have counter one. So you get basically a free blue dice against every fighter that attacks you, unless they're using Rhymer, and then you don't.
I still think you can use Rhymer if he happens to be close. He'll just move away
and shoot you. Which is so frustrating. So that's, you know, half of the fighter lists you're going to be against. Are going to totally ignore that card.
But you can kill Rhymer.
Counter one's only 50-50, isn't it, as well?
Yeah.
But when you add that with the officer... You get an extra dice.
Yeah, with Kallus.
I think it could work. The build I want to try out is the point defense reroute and the quad laser.
I tested it last week. That's what I tested against Ben. And
did it.
It didn't really attack me with squadrons. Right. So I was like,
well, that's the other thing. If you load something up with this, then they can choose to shoot the thing that doesn't have this.
Yeah.
Which maybe that's what you want.
But then I forced it. I threw it at the squadrons.
Hmm.
And that works really well. You're putting out so much damage to the squadrons.
The point defense reroute is when shooting at a squadron at close range, you may reroll your crits.
Yeah.
Which is no good on black dice, but pretty good on blue dice.
I guess it's great in some scenarios, but I'd like to test it against rebel bombers. The problem I have...
They have to be in close.
They have to be in close, but the difficulty I have is a Skurg or a B-Wing is shooting you with a bomber command centre and probably throwing fire. What's its average... damage output.
You've got
three.
Even an ISD is only surviving two turns of that.
Between two and three on its two dice. You have a black and a blue dice. The average damage output with rerolls is probably between two and three.
Yeah.
You're doing 0.5 back per shot.
I think if you've got enough squadrons to cover you,
because
as
you've
well.
Got half a, you've got half a chance of getting.
But then
hit.
You, I guess the theory is that when you're going for anti squadrons with ships, you've got to mass it. You've got to use your quads are doing a bit of damage to everyone that attacks you, then your own anti-squadron is doing a bit of damage to everyone, then Mauler comes in and does a bit of damage to everyone.
You can thin them down.
And eventually they all die at the same time.
Yeah, that's a good point. The number of times you see squadron swarms at the end of the game and they're all on two health or something.
Yeah, especially with bigs being around. Yeah, like, that's going to be even worse for that kind of thing.
So it's something we'd like to try out. But actually, I think that was probably more the honourable mention, because I think we actually more voted tractor beams into the top three.
I'd like to point out I only voted for expanded hangar bays and refused to give a place two and three because I hate them all.
But you use boosted comms. You say you like boosted comms in your list. Yeah. You prefer it to relay.
I only put tractor beams down because it was just like... I'll make the case of a bad one. So you read it out, Ben, and I'll make a case.
Yeah, they're a modification. They're 6 points. When you activate... you may exhaust this card to choose an enemy ship of your size class or smaller at distance 1 to 5. That ship must spend a navigate token or reduce its speed by 1 to a minimum of 1. Now, before we get into this, I'm just going to point out that this has been FAQ'd because it's kind of stated as if you have a choice whether to lose the token or lose the speed, but you don't. You must lose the token, and if you don't have a token, then you lose the speed.
Yeah.
Because there's some ambiguity in that card.
Yeah, so I don't think this is in the category of it's a must include. I think you have to build something around it.
You have to build your whole fleet
but
strategy.
I do. Yeah. Well, the reason I think you can actually get this in as a chuck it on something is because of flotillas and because most stuff is small base. Most good stuff that's quick is small base.
Demolisher, MC-30s.
Exactly. So you put it on a flotilla and then it's when you activate.
Yeah.
So you can take the nav token off Demolisher, which if it has, I mean, they're probably spamming navs, but if you've managed to slice Demolisher as well, you can stop it from engine teching.
I have tried this and it did work very well.
And you can do it with, in our Corellian conflict list, I got three flotillas all with tractor beams.
Well, that's the thing, you kind of have to mass them to have any effect.
Yes, that is true. You've got Demolisher, you've got Admonition and MC-30s, you've got Yavaris, you've got a TRC or just any corvettes, but they generally will have TRCs. You've now got Architens as well.
Yeah.
People have Raiders. There's so much stuff.
There's a lot of targets. I mean, really one problem like I have is they've got to be in range when you activate.
Yes.
So if you're going first, they're out of your range, then they drive in at speed 3 or 4. And you haven't had a chance
to stop them getting away. It's true.
It's more of a stop them getting away than a stop them getting to you.
Yeah, although I do like the Minister Tour, that Flotilla build. It's Flotilla with Minister Tour ECMs.
Yeah.
That and Slicer Tools. And it's suppressor. It's
like 50 points.
Yeah, it's expensive. But it can't die unless you absolutely hammer it with like 3 or 4 activations.
Yeah.
And it takes the top dial off, it takes you down to speed, and it takes your defense token exhausted as well.
Oh my god,
it's a bit of a hunter. It's a bit of a hunter.
Jerk Gazonti coming in.
I mean, I don't want to oversell them. This is not an essential upgrade, but I think they do have a place in the meta where people like to fly in with like demo or ammunition,
and then get out.
Hit you and then get out.
Yeah.
If you have a little Gazonti that's only sitting there with comms net anyway.
Yeah,
chuck one of these on if you've got the points, and then when their thing comes into the side of your ISD or your whatever and tries to run away, you can help. You can have a go, and you can even put one on your ISD as well, and you can sort of you can slow it down.
Actually, because that could be the difference between getting 100 points and not getting 100 points.
Times, admonition gets away on one health or one shield.
Yeah.
I've got a bomber that can't chase it because it's going at speed 4, and my bomber can only do speed 3. So I know what you're saying. It's not a stellar upgrade, and it, the thing that makes, because it's a picture and obviously it's the iconic, it's Tantive IV getting swallowed up in the first 2 minutes of the original trilogy. You think, and because of the size dependency, you think I should put this on a big ship. But I actually think if you spam them on little ships,
I think
you can get
flotillas are probably the comeback for the tractor beam. I remember when they first came out, everyone thought they were going to save the victory, but they didn't.
They did not.
The new captain, the new general, whatever is
De Gerard.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
Get to victories when we talk about the Imperial ships. I've got big opinions on those, but tractor beams, I think it's cool. Mm. And what do you get those in?
You get them in ISDs and home ones, I believe.
Yeah,
that's right.
Big ships. All right, we're done on offensives. Let's move to weapons teams.
Right, the as I like to call it, the gunnery team slot.
So I put gunnery teams highest.
Or ordnance expert slot.
Ordnance experts are probably the biggest impact card now.
Definitely.
Gunnery teams, I think, back in wave 2 were the best. And I still like gunnery teams, especially because of the squadron thing. Because if you fly, if you fly all your squadrons in the arc that they want to shoot at with the ships.
So let me read this out. Gunnery team, 7 points. You can attack from the same hull zone more than once per activation. That hull zone cannot target the same ship or same squadron more than once during that activation. So basically, it's giving you your big broadside or your big front arc, whatever is your powerful one. You can shoot at 2 separate ships, or you can shoot at all the squadrons and a ship.
It's a must-have on ISDs, really.
It's kind of, the only time you wouldn't take it is if you're really, really hoping that they'll pick advanced gunnery.
Because
the FAQ, do you want to explain that one?
So the FAQ says that, because I think it's the wording on gunnery team, it says... that hull zone cannot target the same ship. That overrides, like a cannot overrides a can, so that cannot overrides the advanced gunnery text, which says you can shoot the same ship twice.
So if you have a gunnery team, you already cannot really benefit from the advanced gunnery objective.
I think you can give it to them.
You can.
It does nothing.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't help. It just makes you double victory points.
Yeah, which is not great for your own, and you're going second as well. It's not great for your objective. That's 7 points.
So these are obviously great on assault frigates, ISDs,
not many rebel ships have.
Not many rebel ships have that.
The Liberty 80 doesn't get it. Yeah.
Oh, the Liberty, of course. Yeah.
With that. In fact, that's almost essential on the Liberty, isn't it? That
one? Don't leave home without it.
Because you need to, for the points you're investing,
you need to get the value out of that front arc.
You need to get 2 shots a turn.
And because one of the Liberty gets 2 black dice AA. So being able to AA out the front and and shoot your big, like, 6 dice, 7 dice.
Now, that's a ship. It's a shame it doesn't have Flechette.
And what does What does gunnery teams come with? Do we?
I've got a lot of things. It comes with a lot of things. Hang on, let me think. I've got 3 of them. So you definitely get one in the corset. You definitely get one with the victory.
Yeah.
And you might. I guess it's the ISD.
Yeah. And you probably only need. You probably need 2 anyway. You'd never have more than 2.
I think. If you were doing like a 3 assault frigate Akbar list.
Yeah. True. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. That's a fair point. Yeah, so I think that was the best, but probably not anymore. It's probably...
Well, Ordnance Experts is great for... It's the other one we consider might be number one, Ordnance Experts, because it's only 4 points and it lets you re-roll any number of black dice, which is so reliable. And if you have black dice, you want this upgrade.
You want the crits. The thing with the black dice is you've probably got APTs or something else that needs the crits. You want the crits. If you don't get a crit, like the difference between getting that crit and not getting that crit is what we worked out. It was like two damage, effectively, that's not braceable, that goes through shields or whatever it is.
Exactly. So, and for only 4 points, why wouldn't
crazy
you?
Not
just, like we've been saying, anything that makes your ships more reliable is good.
I think fire control teams I really would like to use, but without the reroll,
that's probably
not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Basically, any other upgrade you take in this slot is competing against either gunnery teams or ordnance experts, depending on what your ship's up to.
But there is a third, which we use a lot now, specific for ships.
Flight controllers.
Yeah,
it's one of the few ship upgrades that makes your fighters better. Only comes in the VSD pack, so people generally don't have a lot of this card.
Mm-hmm.
When you activate squadrons, the anti-squadron armament of each squadron you activate is increased by one blue for this activation. So it's great.
And you have to spend either. I mean, I don't know how you could do it otherwise, but that squadron symbol on it means you have to spend a token or an order. Yeah.
Although I have no idea how else you would activate
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's
I think it's to stop you trying to do it twice. Like, once with a token, once with a... I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, it's super strong.
So yeah, if you've got like a big carrier with like 3, 4, 5, or 6 squadron activations, getting that many extra blue dice, it's really solid.
It makes such a difference because blue dice are better the more you have of them when you're talking about defence tokens against squadrons and so on. Because the more... If you have 2 blue dice and you get 1 accuracy and 1 hit, it's like, great. The accuracy probably isn't doing anything for you if it's a brace. You know, this is completely pointless against 2 braces. But if you get 3 hits and... 2 accuracies there. You can then take out the braces, that's an extra point of damage.
And there's so many things like
take the scatters out.
It really helps you against scatter races because more dice, more chance of accuracying that scatter. Another thing is, if you do, quite often you're looking at doing 1 or 2 damage with your blue dice. You're rolling your 3 or your 4 blue dice, you're going to get 1 or 2 damage.
Mm-hmm.
Getting that third damage is really important because A, it one-shots ties, which is great, but also when they come to brace it, because all aces have 2 braces, they're going to brace it down to 1 damage.
Or a brace and a scatter.
So turning that 2 damage, turning your 2 hits into 3 hits is doubling your damage output against an ace. It's going from 1 damage up to 2 damage.
Which, if you multiply that over the time, is halving the amount of time to kill them.
Yeah, exactly. So get that extra blue dice, actually. Although it sounds like, oh, I'm only getting 25% more firepower onto my X-Wing, actually, you're potentially doubling their damage. Yeah.
And if you're halving the time to kill them, think how much more turns you have, you know, like...
Just freeing them up to carry on the huge ships.
I think almost every list I've taken recently has had flight controls.
And like you say, if you get that on your Alpha Strike, which is your big ship with your expanded hangar bays and your token and everything, you're getting that 6 times or 5 times. Massive Alpha Strike, kill all their nasty stuff, or kill their intel, whatever you need to do, kill their escorts... you're controlling.
Focus down their big threat.
You're controlling the battle. Then you're controlling the fighter battle, and
that's it.
I think it's really strong. Is there an honourable mention in this category? I would make a case for Ruth, this strategist, as a kind of not good, but like, I'd like maybe there's a case. We've tried it a bit.
Are there definitely a case for using it on like a Gladiator 2 with 2 blue dice because it gets to shoot twice? So theoretically, you know, you drive something big and tough in. You shoot out the side for 2 blue dice and hit everyone for 1 with Ruthless. Then you drive around, you shoot out the front with 2 blue dice and then hit everyone with Ruthless again.
Yeah.
And then you drop Mauler in and you just do this big AoE splash where basically everyone's taking guaranteed damage.
Yeah.
In theory, it can wipe out a whole bomber wing, but...
Pull it off once.
That's something so hard to pull off.
When I used it against you, Ben, I think I did it amazing. I like one-shotted Jan or two-shotted Jan, I think, with it. But then did nothing else. Like, and it was like, well, it's good to kill Jan, but...
But then you've used it like an 80 or 90 point ship to do that, haven't you?
Exactly, yeah. It's like...
So I should point out for anyone who is not familiar, the Ruthless Strategist is when attacking a squadron, you may deal a damage to a friendly squadron engaged with it to deal 1 damage to the defender. So you deal yourself extra damage to deal the enemy extra damage.
The thing I like about it is it bypasses the tokens.
It does. Yeah, it bypasses scatter. It bypasses escort.
Yeah. And it's not from an attack, so you can't trigger counter off it.
Biggs doesn't trigger off of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it's really good against things like Biggs and Jan. And Gallant Haven.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll be seeing more of it, because Gallant Haven's had a massive comeback.
I think he's got potential with his strategists, but you do need to build a list around it. It's not... It's not an upgrade like XO7s or something that you just go, oh, I've got some points, I'll chuck it on. You have to have a plan.
But like I said, Gladiator is where it works best. And do you want to be using Demolisher for anti-squadron?
It's good. The thing with Demolisher is often it goes in, it does a couple of rounds on a ship, and then it foxtrot Oscars. Mm. But I like... it got used against me, and I used it in a few games as well, which is a double blue Gladiator.
Mm.
It comes in, it mauls your fighter screen first, then it goes after a ship.
Yeah.
And you haven't lost anything because you're still getting the ship activation that you would have got, but you're just getting that interim. If they come in with a fighter screen heavy on you to try and alpha your fighters, you're getting a couple of shots on theirs, which thins them out, boosts you. So it's cool. I like how the Gladiator's gone from everybody took the 56-point... GST.
Yeah, watch. Now there's a reason to take
it. Because it was cheaper, too. You just get the point.
Yeah. But Chuck now Callis on as well.
Take the blue version, the double blue.
The double blue AA, and also because it's got red out the side, it can benefit from Jonas.
Yeah. It's made a massive difference there. Right, is that it? For what does Ruthless Strategist come with?
Ruthless Strategist comes with the Raider, I believe. No, I've only got one of them. So,
I can't remember.
It's Wave. Was it Wave
2? Wave 2. Must be the Star Destroyer.
ISD one.
Must that be would the make ISD. Sense,
thematically, but not that that ever is any
indication. Because I've got two Raiders, it's not a Raider thing.
You're probably not going to need more than one.
It didn't come with the Gladiator, because this is definitely a newer card than that. Yeah, it must be the ISD. Yeah. We could look this up, but,
It's on, there is a site
there's a website.
Very good for it, yeah. Mm. I think it's the Armada Wiki, shows you what comes in each pack or what. Mm.
I think all the other way around, you pick shows you as well.
Pick the upgrade, and it will tell you which packs you can get it from. Yeah. So, was there another one you wanted?
I just wanted to have a bit of a cry about Fire Control Team.
Okay. Such a bit of a moan. It should be
a bit of a moan because what it says is during the damage step, you may exhaust this card to resolve one additional critical effect, but you cannot resolve the same critical effect twice. So that's cool because then you could. Theoretically, you could stick on like an ion cannon and a turbo laser that both do crit stuff, and
or you could do APT.
Or you could do APT
twice
when it says you can't do it twice.
No, sorry, you could do it and then do a normal crit as well.
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah,
sorry, do it two crits to get like double.
So with Dodana, that would be really strong.
The problem is it's competing with Ordnance Experts.
Yeah, which you need to get.
Which you need to get first crit. So you can't combine it with anything black. Then they did an FAQ that says it doesn't work with the XX9 turbo lasers.
Which is in contrast.
Although it does say
article.
On the website, yeah.
Yeah, I think basically they meant it to work, but they didn't realise the wording actually prohibits it from working.
Yeah.
So the XX9s are the first two hits you take this turn are dealt face up. So theoretically, Fire Control Team could trigger that and the vanilla crit for 3 face up damage in one volley. But because of the precise wording of the cards, they actually cancel each other out and they don't.
Which is duplicates, isn't it? You get the first card is a crit. Twice.
And the first
card is a crit. Again, so it's already a crit, so it can't be.
So you could do that and APTs, though. That would be 3 crits.
But then if you've got APTs, you want the Ordnance Experts, not
exactly.
Fire Control Team.
Yeah.
Unless
you could do Screed, maybe.
And that's
would that work?
That's really
maybe?
The problem, yeah. I guess. Yeah, if you have Screed and Fire Control Teams.
Have Screed and Fire Control Teams.
Problem with Screed has 2 problems there, though. One is that you can only use him for one of your shots.
Yeah.
And the other one is it costs you a die. So if you can Ordnance Expert it off naturally, you do more total damage.
Yeah. Not Vader, that lets you reroll, so that's doing the same task as Ordnance.
Yeah, you could try it with Vader.
Yeah, but you're spending a defense token, and Gladiator does not have those to spare. It needs all of those.
I don't know. It's a bit of a greedy card, isn't it?
It's good, but it's one of those things. It's good. There's lots of stuff in any game, in this game. It's good, but it's just not as good as the
alternative. I mean, I would love to see like Fire Control Teams with Dodonna and XX9s, just all that kind of stuff.
Try it in casual.
But yeah,
just throw out 3
the competition's too fierce. Anything that wants...
Yeah.
Or either a ship wants Ordnance Experts or it wants Gunnery Teams.
Mm.
And Fire Control Teams just doesn't...
Or Flight Controls, if it's a carrier Flight Controls.
Exactly, that's it. You've got those big 3. If you've got Red Dice, you want Gunnery Teams. If you've got Black Dice, you want Ordnance
Experts.
There
aren't any categories of...
This should have been in that the other category.
Fire Control Team. Yeah, it should be in a different slot.
A support.
A support one,
yeah.
But I guess it's kind of a weapon. It, thematically, it's a weapons team.
Yeah, make it an officer.
Still
a
support
thing.
But yeah, it just doesn't... Other stuff is too good.
Yeah.
Unless at some point down the line you can
maybe
have two
just,
of those.
Maybe it was like a zero.
Yeah,
cost.
Maybe there'd be a ship with 2 slots.
Yeah, that would be cool. Or if it was one of those like they do in X-Wing where it like makes you cheaper or it's 0 points. So you just go, wow.
Even if it was 0 points, I don't think
you still have the
order
X-Wing. I think I'd double
true.
You definitely would take it though.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll bring out someone that adds an extra slot like that onto
the ship. Yeah, well, the ISD one's got 2 offensive retrofit slots. The MCAD command carrier's got two defensive retrofit slots, so the precedent's there. The Liberty's got two turbo laser slots. Mm. There's no reason why you can do it.
Conceptually, what is that shit? Just a massive, like, just like bristling with missiles. There's no lasers on it. It's just loads of missile ports, loads of torpedo tubes, just like lots of
two double missile ordnance batteries. That would be disgusting.
But it would have to have something like if you
can't take the same upgrade twice.
If you hit the
if you have ACM and ATP.
Oh,
jeez. If it actually just dies.
And fire control teams and both special missiles. Yeah. Oh, my God.
But it should have a special rule, like if you get a crit on it, it just dies. You just hit the armory where all the missiles are. It's the whole thing dissolves.
Frightening.
Right.
Great. So while we were doing that, I was thinking of actually some common ships where you can get a lot of these upgrades. So if you've got a limited budget, or if you're just starting out and you want
to
pick
where to get the good cards.
What's the best way of maximising getting all these good cards? They've spread
them out. I mean, basically, most of the cards you get in most places, but then there's a couple of cards that are hard to get hold of, and they're not always in ships you want.
I mean, you want the core. You're going to have the core set, because you need that for the damage
style. Yeah, and the maneuver tools and all that stuff.
The VSD seem to come up quite a lot.
Well, VSD, you get Motti. The only way you get Motti, obviously you're great. Imperial Commander, you get flight controllers, which is great, and you get gunnery teams.
Yeah, so even
you're probably never
going to
use those two.
No, not on the VSD. But even if you're a rebel player, getting the VSD is potentially worth it. I mean, it's
just
more
for
worth
flight controllers, really.
More worth it for Imperial, obviously. You get the ship, but
and the Admiral.
Yeah.
I'm saying that there's probably like a £30 ship. Just for some cards,
but
here
VSDs, like, a lot got ordered in the early, so you might
sell on Amazon cheap.
You might get some cheap ones from someone who's got too much stock. And then the other one was the MC30. Obviously, for a rebel player, you're going to get that anyway, you know, brainer. Yeah. But as an Imperial player, actually getting the MC30.
Well, the Imperials you don't use.
We could suggest just
so
go and do the tournament this coming.
But you want the APTs.
You want the APT
or first Q kit, isn't it?
Sorry,
Q1 kit.
Yeah.
Just do that,
or just do the Q1 kit and get the turbo laser rear out circuit. And I think you can get the XY7s and leading shots. I think you can get them for £4 or £5 because they're specials. There's lots of them.
Yeah, people stick them on eBay.
You can get them for £4 or £5 on eBay.
I think, which is cheaper than buying the ship.
Exactly.
It's cheaper to buy an XY7 than a Neb B.
And if you've got the start set, you've already got one Neb B. You're going to do that like weird list, which is like the Liberty and loads of Neb Bs. You only ever want one Neb B, so. Mm. I guess you want to buy it for the Yavaris title, but if you're an Imperial player,
do you not get Yavaris in the core set?
No. Maybe you do.
I don't think so.
No, you're right. Yeah, shit. They put the best title in there.
Yeah. So if you're an Imperial player and you don't want it for Yavaris, then just buy
the alternate
one.
I would say if you're
eBay.
A Rebel player, you want Yavaris guaranteed.
Oh yeah. Well, it depends.
Well, I think
you always want to try it.
Playing with it makes you better against fighting against it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you lose a little sliver of your soul every time you play it. A little piece of you dies inside.
There are far worse lists than your Yavaris lists.
Well, I wouldn't say far worse.
Demolisher's pretty high. Fireball.
It's frustrating.
Primeball even, sorry.
There's lots of strong stuff.
Yeah.
None of it's the worst.
Yeah, it's good. There's a good place at the moment. Lots of different stuff. So, I guess in summary, there is a bit of a gulf, I think, in Armada at the moment. In terms of tournament, just
I think unfortunately basically half of the upgrades in every slot just don't compete with the other half.
Yeah.
Well, they're good upgrades, they do useful things.
In their own right,
they're
okay.
They just don't compare to something else in the same slot.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Yeah. But hopefully we've given you a flavour of what's good in those categories and giving you some starting points, some ideas for lists if you weren't sure. Hopefully you know why these things are good now and what ships they go on, and if you've got a limited budget you can prioritise what you want to pick up, and also you won't be surprised to see them. If you see what they are and what they do, you won't be taken off guard.
But right. Also, like, don't feel bad, man. Like, if you're an Imperial player and you don't want to buy an MC30, don't worry about it. Just use the advanced concussion missiles because they are still good.
Yeah.
Like, don't feel like that you're going to lose all your games because your missiles cost 2 points more.
Yeah. And also, this is not set in stone. Like, people in games all the time pull good stuff out that wasn't good. People didn't think it was good, you know?
Definitely.
Like,
try something.
If you've got
weird.
Some ideas, try it and test it.
But, well, like Chris was saying, try and make the tractor beams work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just give it a go.
But this is still useful information, because if you're trying to build a list that's going to be good, you need to be able to cope with all of this stuff.
Well, listen, you need to understand, these is what everyone else will be using.
Exactly.
So,
you know, you're going to see all this stuff.
I would say it's the meta, but there it's just...
No,
because the flavour at the moment.
Well, all those... You'll see, if you play three games in a day, you will see most of that stuff. Yeah. Definitely. In the day, or four games, five games at a tournament.
And mainly because it's reliable, and people want reliability.
And it's damage a good point, rolls, good point efficiency.
Mm.
Good point. Yeah, and likewise, if you have any thoughts on that, or you think we missed something, you want to feed something back, do email us in and let us know. We'll move on to the other ones next time, but we can revisit any of these topics that we think are particularly worthwhile.
Yeah, at some point we should probably go over the... After the cards, we'll go over the ships.
Yep, we'll do that. So next time we'll do the other five slots. Then we'll do Rebel specific and Imperial specific segments, and then we'll probably do the ships as well. Whether or not we get time to do them in the same episode, we'll see how long it takes.
We can talk about like how our Krillian campaign's gone, and like you guys already talked about the regionals, didn't you?
Yes, we did a regional. Yes. Did you want to add anything on that, Ben?
No, I'm sure you guys covered it. I think, by four games I really enjoyed, and then by the fifth game I was tired and
made
some bad moves and wanted to go home and go to bed.
Yeah. Mm. I think it's fine at a convention. If you're giving the weekend up and you said, like, you've got the pass for the weekend from your partner or family or whatever, or work or whatever it is you need, you've got the time to go, you can spend the time, you're there, you're invested. You know you have a late night anyway because you might step in the bar afterwards or whatever. But if it's a one-day thing and you've got a family to get back to and you've got to be up early to go to work...
I don't even think they're doing five, are they?
Is it just four? It's just over the top five.
I think it's four games and then three?
Four and three, I think it is, yeah.
They even know they don't want to do
Friday,
five games.
Saturday. Yeah. Five's makes just sense. A bit much. But yeah, you. I think we probably maybe a sore point for you there, Ben, because you probably should have gone all the way and won that. And then,
well, I don't know. The other guys played well. They had good lists, they played well. And in that last game, he played better than I did. So can't argue with them.
But didn't you have a lot of dice on bigs?
Biggs
is just so hard to.
Biggs is tough. I played it all wrong. So whether I killed Biggs or not with that Alpha Strike is kind of irrelevant because my whole strategy was wrong.
You took a big risk.
For some reason I decided I wanted to go big. I wanted to because the idea. Oh well, I better get into this. Right, so my list it was Star Destroyer. Star Destroyer with four Gazontes. Six bombers, six TIE fighters, roughly. He had an MC-80, a Yavaris, two transports. And my list was designed perfectly to defeat that list. Because Ricky had been winning tournaments for that list. And I was like, this is what beats it.
That's the thing why you should be disappointed, because you build that specifically to take that
list. I haven't played against that list in months months and months.
I said this last time, Jamie is, because I know him from War Machine days, he is a fantastic player.
Yeah, he played
an unbelievably good player.
But I should have been way more cautious, because the whole plan to defeat that list is six bombers with two bomber command centres, on average, kill an FB from the side.
Yeah.
In one turn, and that's the whole point that list is built around.
What was his general? Was it
Rican? No, he had Dodonna. But the reason I built that list was to fight Rican was that basically you do it as your last activation. You send six bombers into the side of your virus and kill it, and then your virus has never double tapped anything. But in this game, for some reason, I decided I needed to go big and tried to kill the MC-80 instead. And I just drove my Star Destroyer at it.
It's almost like you'd played four games before or something. Your brain was fried.
I should have just sniped off your virus, had a fighter skirmish. Neither of our big ships would have died.
Yeah. You'd have got a 7-4 or something.
And I've got a 6 or a 7.
Yeah. I think when you're that tired, though, that's because I did the same thing. I wanted to get kills. I wanted to do a lot of damage. Why I'd even need to do it? Why would I waste?
No, I mean, who knows? I still probably wouldn't have won the tournament. I think the guy who won it, won his last game by quite a lot.
What did you lose by? Yeah, he's playing Ricky. He just thrashed
me.
He just thrashed me and then he thrashed you.
I only lost, what, I was like four?
I can't remember.
7-4?
I can't remember the exact points. I think I probably would have ended up coming second instead of fourth if I'd done that.
Yeah.
So I guess it doesn't really make any difference, does it?
No.
That's it.
Cool. On to the Q1 kit,
which will hopefully be too old for five games.
The Q1 is like, do we want
Q1 should be casual.
I'm taking
a jank list.
I'm taking my double MC-8s.
Yeah, nice.
double dildos. That's what we're calling it.
Are we talking about our listener?
That's a bit of pain there, isn't it? With all the like ridges on it and
yeah, ripped for your pleasure. See along that little conning tower sticking out the top half.
Oh,
so.
Oh, I don't know. It's a horrible list. It's not even a fun list.
This conversation's descended. Yeah, do we want to talk about the campaign briefly then?
Well, we're about to fight the final battle, so we don't know who's won yet.
Yeah, but, so I guess we don't want to spend too long on the Carillion campaign. Mm. Other podcasts have covered all the basic rules and so on, and you know, so you can get good sources on that elsewhere and where you get it. I guess we've played six of us. We've played three Rebels, three Imperial lists, and we've
done three rounds.
Yeah. What do you?
No, four rounds. Three.
I think because I've played all you guys once.
Yeah.
So we won't go through the fleets because that's really be, boring.
What we could say is that there's
the admirals are. I'm playing Imperials. I've got Ozzel and I've got Matt Such with.
Jerry, as we call him.
Tien.
And Vader. So it's Vader, Ozzel, and Jerry against Madine, Mothma, and Kraken.
Yeah.
So it's all mobile generals, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
All the
we didn't
guys.
Go with any of the real.
Well, we wanted to avoid Akbar and Motti and Dodonna, all the ones who play in tournaments all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
We wanted to do something different.
Yeah. We didn't take Reimer. You guys didn't take Jan. Like,
yeah, exactly. We just left all the.
Reimer's in. Someone's got Reimer now.
Ben's bought it because he's got Rex twice. Yeah. And he's gone. I've had enough of
Everyone started out fluffy.
Bringing out Reimer. Yeah.
We should say, I don't know if there's a good enough catch-up mechanic. I think once you
well,
fall
I
behind,
think we
I
kind of we kind of fucked the guys over on the catch-up mechanic because the idea is if you fall behind, you become the attacker, and then out of two of your three games, you have the initiative.
Mm.
But what happened was we were the rebels, so we started with the initiative.
Yeah,
and we did well, but they got one. We got more like money, and they got more victory points. So at the end of round one, they were in the lead on points. But we were in the lead in fleet size.
And we really
so in the second game, we were the attackers again. And we won those games, and we drew on victory points. And when you're drawn on victory points,
rebels
get it. Yeah. So we've had three rounds of always having the initiative, despite every round having coming off on the better side of the points killed and the refit points.
Yeah.
So every round we've had more bigger fleets than them, and we've had more people attacking, which has been a huge advantage.
Yes, because my attacks were getting 2 points. Yours were only getting like 1 point, say, or you were doing the resource. We did do the resource thing for the Imperials.
Yeah.
The problem I had when I did it is the other two fleets got absolutely butchered, and they needed all the bonus resource points
just to repair them.
To be fair, the first game, I don't think any of us really jumped out when we could have done.
I did.
I know... You did when you got told at the end.
Someone mentioned, like, I was like, oh shit, I can retreat. I'm out of here.
I jumped out loads on my first game, but I didn't even remember.
I've enjoyed playing like stuff I didn't normally use. So I've got Ozzel, which obviously I never really used him before, and he's not used much. And I've got all the bounty hunters as the squadrons.
Yeah, cool. That's quite fun, isn't it? You never see
it's quite fun. And I've got, I've got Jendon just to give me a bit of extra, like, so I can double shoot with IG-88 or whatever.
I just went stupid though.
And just a few ships. And it's quite fun, but I had like such cagey games. Like my last game against Cook, which was he was running
How long
Kraken.
Did that go as well?
It was like a 4.5 hour game or something. Four hour game.
Yeah. No, and, well, I played two games at the time.
It was like over 4 hours because it was unbelievably tight and cagey. But it's difficult because you don't have initiative in, and people have built lists to go first or second. And have
in the campaign, I think you can't build a list that needs to go first.
All of our lists were first. We wanted to be first.
And
weren't
the base defense thing is quite strong as well. When you're defending a base, you can pick like the 40 extra squadrons.
It makes it
not being able to. Pick, at least have some control with the first player
over what objective
defenses is hard. So I enjoyed
it. Different way of playing the game, isn't it?
Different way of playing the game, and I enjoyed it, but not as much.
I thought I was going to enjoy it more than I did.
Yeah, it got stale quick for me. It got stale quick, and like you say, it kind of we just got it got one sided quickly.
Well, we're the winning side, and we're still just getting a bit. It doesn't.
I'm not excited to fight another round. So, like, the rebels are winning now, and we've decided to launch the final assault, which is just to finish the campaign.
And we want
to
see what it's like.
Because that final assault is meant to be for the people who are trailing to catch up.
Yeah.
But we're just like, fuck it, don't want to fight any more rounds. Let's just do this.
Let's get it over with. I'm a bit disappointed in it, to be honest. And I don't know if that's a reflection of the way we treated it, but I don't think, like you said, we steered away from the good
power
stuff.
Builds.
We didn't have power builds. We took it. casual, but it just got.
I don't know why house rules to add that might.
I think maybe add a bit more. If we did it again, people might need to be a bit less willing to get their stuff killed, because I think Ben and Matt on your team lost a lot of stuff very quickly, and then they never got to develop their fleets because they were just constantly repairing.
True.
Maybe just playing a bit more cautiously would make it more fun. I don't know, but that doesn't sound like a fun game either. I don't know.
Well, the game I played against Matt Cook was a fun game, but it was like the three games I played were all been really cautious games. So our game, Ben, you jumped out. I think I'd killed a Corvette and a flotilla or something, and you jumped out because you couldn't kill any of my
stuff. Well, I got outmaneuvered pretty bad. I had a Liberty and an MC-30 that were just deployed in the wrong place, and you maneuvered around them, and I realised, actually, it's turn four. There's going to be this turn and two more turns of me getting shot in the back while I desperately try to turn around. I'm not going to kill anything. So
it was kind of a bit of a stale, rubbishy game. There was like two small ships died. And even though I won that, I didn't find it a massively satisfying game. And then our game, Ricky, like, you just have five MC-30s. Again, it was really cautious.
I jumped everything out before they died.
Really cautious. Everything. So I'd won, and then the only high.
But I didn't lose anything, which was
exactly. Good. But you,
I did kill the gladiator. That was a
good... I threw gladiator in for the last.
It's like the only attack. Way for me to kill it is to get the god roll of like double hit on every black. Boom, double hit every black.
Nice.
That was a fluky roll.
Fluffed it. Demo fluffed it, and then. They just really caged. And then against Matt, he had TRC Krakens, which was a bit saucy compared to the other
lists. It was the most tournament list of all our lists, I think.
It was a bit tasty. And he only...
Standard Matt.
He it was a very close game. It was really good. I enjoyed it. But 4.5 hours, like, I don't need that for an hour game, you know?
It's a bit much, isn't it?
And it was so cagey, and it was so...
It looks good.
It
looks good game.
But I'd like to play it again, but not anytime soon, I think. Like... Maybe in a year or something.
There's better ways to explore different things, aren't there? Just casual.
I'm looking forward to the last game. I'm looking forward to this big.
Yeah, it'll be a laugh.
It's going to take all day.
Yeah.
And 1500 again. 1500. That's.
I think it'll be fun, but I'm not looking forward to how long it's going to take, because I would rather play three different games, three different lists than.
Or
play the big game.
Stuff could get wiped out fast.
I'd rather play a game of Armada and then play some Rebellion or some Destiny or something. Yeah. Play something else to mix it up.
Because in that big game, it was going to look cool, and you're going to have some stories to tell.
There's so much downtime.
There's
going to
be a
lot
of standing around waiting for your turn.
I know.
Like a shitload of waiting around.
You almost want to play like simultaneous chess. Yeah. Just have like individual Destiny games going on in the background, so that when it's not your activation,
or you
your
can speech, do that, actually.
You can just pop over, do a couple of turns of Destiny, and then pop. As long as you have like a player marker, so you remember whose game it is, or something like that. I don't know.
I think because there'll be just, discussion. I think you'll be talking with your teammates. Yeah,
but that'll make
time.
It take even longer.
Well, it will.
Because it'll be like, should I move this one or this one?
Yeah.
Let's have a 10-minute conversation.
Let the other team can overhear and see what
exactly.
You're going to do.
Yeah.
But you guys have to leave the room while we take.
No. So we're being a bit negative about it here. And other sources have given it like unmitigatedly glowing reviews. The concepts sound cool. All the mechanics sound cool. And it's better balanced than things like back in the day, Necromunda or Blood Bowl, where stuff just got really good really quick and other stuff got bad. Like it's got a much better balance than that. There's not too much paperwork. It's a very streamlined campaign system, but it suffers from all of them in that it just gets stale if you don't win quick. And if you're using the same thing week in, week out, and you're like us, we like trying new things.
That's the thing for me.
Just
adding like 30 extra points is fun, like tweaking your list, but I've got so many new lists I want to try out.
And playing as part of a longer thing is cool, because you're like, oh, I need to not lose this. But at the same time, sometimes you just want to, like, I just wanted to chuck Demolisher in at the end, which I did.
Yeah.
But like, if I've been playing that properly to the campaign, we'd have just danced, and we did mostly. Yeah, we just danced
more
around
more
each other.
I'm out of kind of
clicked a TIE fighter off here and there, scraped a couple of shields or something, and then we all jump out. It's
maybe like
sometimes Armada has that problem at tournaments anywhere when people don't properly engage.
Yeah, because they want to,
and the campaign does unfortunately
protect their score.
Make that worse.
I guess that's where we have strategic now in the game.
Yeah, to make people fight you.
Yeah.
Use his objectives to.
Goddamn strategic. That's worse than Intel. That's another discussion as well, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, that's for another time.
Right,
so...
it's probably been long enough. Should we call it there?
Well, to end up, I thought we would just do a quick other stuff we've been playing that people might find interesting. So if you're done and you just want to hear about Armada, that's great. We'll see you next time. But we'll just have a couple of minutes. I'm going to talk about some other bits I've been playing stuff that you might enjoy. So we've been playing a bit of Imperial Assault recently, just in the campaign.
Really enjoying it.
Enjoying it.
Fun. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a bit of a... Again, I think it could get like stale if you get to like the 15th campaign game or something. But
or you're killed on the first.
Well, you can't die.
But it's a lot quicker.
You
never well.
Retire from the battlefield, and then you just reset. You just come back. Next time. It's cool.
And it only takes about an hour or hour and a half, doesn't it, to do one, which is quite fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just like a bit of old like D&D or Dungeon Quest type thing, but with Star Wars and all the cool abilities and different characters and roleplay the Wookiee and
I'm one with the force. I just had this one game. I must have rolled that like ignore all damage dice like 8 times in a row.
It was a 1 in 6.
Yeah. Jesus. He was one with the force.
Yeah. It's good fun. It's good banter.
My sniper.
Good sort of team chat, and there's good storyline driving it, and you can do side plots like we rescued my Wookiee's brother's life debt or whatever, and that was quite good fun. And
so is there a side mission every time? I didn't know.
You alternate, you do a side mission, then a main mission.
So we can do your guys' side missions if they get drawn.
Yeah, we get like, the deck. You deal some cards, like we might get go help Luke Skywalker do a thing, and then he'll come back to one of our missions to help us out.
We can bring him in.
It would have been nice when we had
the Inquisitor jump to us.
Although that was kind of like, oh my god, this feels kind of bullshit because he's so strong.
Yeah.
It did thematically feel quite right. Like this one Jedi was like holding up an entire battalion in one hallway.
Yeah. So
and then they just send in the Inquisitor to just like get him out of there.
Yeah.
You can't argue with that.
And then he just smacked the door down. He one-shotted the door. All these guys have been pounding on it for turns and turns and he just went chop straight through with a lightsaber.
I wish that was cool. I know I had to leave for that one, so there's always the next turn.
Yeah, that's it.
I do hope we play again soon now.
Yeah, definitely.
We haven't played Armada in
a while,
in a week.
I've been playing a lot of Rebellion recently.
Talk about that then.
So I played two games of Rebellion a couple of weeks ago, and I love it.
I looked at it and I thought it was going to be like
Risk with Star Wars, but it's not at all. You basically fight like 3 battles all game. And the rest of it is all about just going off and doing sneaky missions and
doing thematic stuff.
Yeah, it's so thematic. It just every game feels like this is just an alternate reality Star Wars movie where
the decks are stacked for events and stuff that happens. Mm. So like one of the best games I played was Luke went to Dagobah and leveled up.
Oh, nice!
Into like Jedi Luke.
Yeah.
And then he came in. I built a Death Star. Yeah. And I had a remote system, and little did I know it was on the next to the rebel base.
Oh,
so
shit.
Matt jumped straight in, and I thought the rebel base must be over there because he's really keen to kill this Death Star.
Yeah.
I then jumped it through the queue to get it active, and he was like, "Whoa, shit!" So he sent Luke in with his because he's Jedi Luke's the best character. He's got like 3 Admiral, 3 sent Luke in to just smash it.
Right,
Luke smashed it, but was sat there activated. Then I was at Palpatine in. Captured him and turned into the dark side.
Oh my god!
So cool.
That is really hard to pull off.
I had Jedi Luke because there were so many of my characters there.
Yeah, he just rolled a million dice.
He was there. I just rolled a million dice to turn him. Turned him with Palpatine. Yeah,
oh,
and
fuck.
I was like, no. So it was absolute. But I still lost in the end because he managed to jump onto Corellia. I was at the rebel base. And I'd just been beaten off with my stuff that was there, and I had it about to move some more stuff in. He jumped into Corellia. He did like a sabotage, killed my 4 points of stuff that was on Corellia, and then jumped in with the rebel ships to advance it to. It was so close. It was unbelievably close.
It's so good.
It's just.
I guess it's only because it's 2 players, a bit of a.
And it takes like 3 hours.
I'd like to give it a go. 4. Other people have been skeptical.
I played it 3-player. Yeah. One of my games was 3-player, and it kind of works. Kind of doesn't.
It's not just having 2 people taking the same decision, is it? Because you have
one's the admiral, one's the general.
And
so everything in the game gets split between the two of them.
Okay.
And obviously you can confer, but I feel like playing 4-player would be difficult because in 3-player it's 2 Imperials versus 1 Rebel, which kind of feels right because there's some kind of like discoordination between the Imperials.
Yeah.
But if you were to do it 4-player and there were 2 on each team, it'd be really difficult for the Rebel players to communicate without giving information away to the Imperials.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's all about hiding with the Rebels.
Yeah.
And getting the right people in the right place.
I think that lack of coordination thing would build in the theme. I mean, maybe with the Rebels it would be difficult, but I guess you have got that because communication's different. Maybe it's not the lack of coordination, but because
like if we
comms is difficult because they're doing different things at different sides of the galaxy, you know?
You can't really discuss where your hidden bases are, where to place them, or...
But I think if we had 4 people wanting to play, we should just play two games of 2-on-2.
Yeah, you reckon?
I think
I'd like to give it. I'd like to give it a go with four first, particularly if you've got two new guys or two guys who haven't played much.
Hmm.
Put one with each, an experienced guy to.
Yeah, that could work.
But the thing that annoys me about it only being two player is it's easily the most thematic and fun and cool. Like when I turned Luke, like that was amazing. Like, sharing that moment was absolutely incredible. And only being able to share it with one other person, rather than like if you've got like Imperial Assault and you have a crazy moment.
Yeah, then
like, it's like five people to cheer or to go, no. But you know, only having that one
different
person
experience,
to have that like.
I had a similar thing where I sent Obi-Wan to go in and rescue Leia. And Obi-Wan broke Leia out of prison, but they were expecting it and launched an attack to capture and then turn Obi-Wan to the dark side. So all of his characters were like focused down on this one prison. Like it was basically like using Leia as bait. He knew I was going to come for him, so he just assigned everyone to counter. And when you pick a character in Rebellion, you get one of two special cards they get. And the one they got for Obi-Wan that game was that as soon as he's captured, he dies and you gain a victory point. So Vader turned up to capture him and he just like heroically sacrificed himself, died to Vader.
You can't, if you strike me down.
Exactly. More powerful, and then the Emperor turned up to turn him to the dark side and was like, where is he? Fuck! wasted all my time.
He's one with the Force ghost. No, sorry.
Exactly. So does that leave you open to do something else while they're all there? Were you
So I could do all these other things while all his characters were like focused down on this place.
With
nothing to do. The Emperor literally, and he did that happen twice. One time, Chewie turned up and rescued someone before the Emperor could turn up, and so the Emperor spent half the game trying to turn people to the dark side, but they would leave. They were escaping just before he could get there. So he had like these sort of massive dark side blue balls. I need to turn to someone.
Did he have a word with Darth Vader at his appraisal? He's like, come on, Darth. I keep turning up, but every time.
Spending his life.
Don't call me unless you've got them in carbonite or something. Yeah, like, exactly. For fuck's sake.
Send them to me.
if they're en route in custody of an incompetent subordinate, that's not good enough. Like,
don't even tell me about it until they're like at my palace.
Yeah, exactly.
Best not to know they escaped.
And I think the price has come down a little bit now. I think you can get it.
It is pricey.
You can get about 70 quid.
But instead of looking at it like a board game and thinking, oh, it's expensive for a board game and it's only two player unlike another board game, I think of it more like Armada, where it's like a head-to-head thing that you play for an evening with one person.
So much replayability as well.
Yeah, it feels like it. Because I've played twice and I still haven't seen like half of the events and half the characters I haven't used. Yeah. Haven't even had Luke in my game.
The little models are amazing. Like, the little Death Stars are so cool, and the Star Destroyers and the Super Star Destroyers.
Yeah.
All this stuff that you can't get in other games, like Super Star Destroyers, you're never going to get that in Armada.
Yeah.
AT-ST,
you could.
You're never going to get that. Oh, no, it's the AT-ATs, the big ones.
Yeah,
you're
never going to get that in Imperial Assault.
They're too big for the scales of the games.
But you don't have to. We can say that they could put them in there, just having them the same scale as the ISD, but you know it says it's Super Star Destroyers.
Oh, it just looks wrong.
Yeah, it will look wrong.
I guess you could, because the Corvettes aren't full scale to the ISDs and that kind of thing. But
I don't, they will bring them in.
It'd be too powerful. Like, it'd be excessively powerful.
Yeah, because unfortunately, in the fluff, a Super Star Destroyer is just insane. Like, it's as long as like 20 Star Destroyers. It's got more firepower than 20 Star Destroyers. It's like, if they tried to make it anything like it is in the books, it would be way too powerful.
I guess that could lead into being a campaign thing.
Even if you made it only twice as powerful as an ISD, that's 250 points. It's a lot for one activation.
That's your one ship.
It'd be either too powerful because you could use Alpha Strike with your entire army every turn, or it would be ridiculous because you'd have like one, two activations and it just wouldn't be enough. But
yeah, well, you'd slice a toilet and...
You'd have to have like different command stack with different bits of the ship.
I don't know. Maybe
it just wouldn't work.
But they might do what they did with X-Wing when they brought out the Corvette and X-Wing, where it's you play like a 5-step campaign and it works completely differently to every other ship in the game. And like if they made it like that, like the Super Star Destroyer is like basically takes up half the board, and you have to fight a special campaign to assault it with an entire fleet or something like that.
Yeah,
I guess that's how you'd do it.
Yeah. Campaign
can,
number two.
You couldn't bring it to a regional.
You couldn't bring it
into
tournament games. No, it's stupid.
So yeah, love the other Star Wars stuff. From
It's all good. I'm still playing Destiny. That's good too.
Yeah, I've got to
spending too much money on it.
just one more pack.
It's just because you go to
maybe this pack's got it in.
You go to the
suggesting
counter,
that
you go to
get
the counter to pay to play. Yeah. Like, oh, here's my
just
money for my can, my tab for my drinks.
Yeah, no. Oh, well, you've got some Destiny.
What's that on the counter?
I'll have a Destiny. Oh, well, I'll buy one, maybe I'll buy two. And in Excelsior, they have three for like I think it's £8.
Yeah.
So it's so. Do you think? Oh, I will just buy one while I'm in here. That's £3.
Well, I might as well get three.
Well, I could get two. But if I get three, then it's like £2 cheaper. Oh.
It's on me as well.
It's just like bloody crack.
They're out at the moment, aren't they?
Are they?
I don't know. I've not.
Yeah, it's hard to get product. Hard to get products. Hard to get products at the moment.
Yeah.
We're lucky because there's something in big and not many people go there.
Yeah. Well, I think I was lucky. I got in right at the start and did some amazing trading. Like I got half a box. And then decided up because I got Vader in my thing and I got a bunch of villains red and blue. I thought, right, I'll just do red and blue villains and traded away all my yellows and all my heroes stuff. And now I've got all the red and blue villain stuff for hardly putting any outlay.
I like to collect everything. That's my problem. I want two of everything, but I don't want to pay.
That's how they get you
all the money, which I already am at the moment. It's more expensive than Armada. Saying something.
It's as expensive as you want it to be, man.
God damn.
Yeah.
Let's hope to win some
they
stuff.
They just keep
on
making
Tuesday.
Too much good Star Wars stuff. They have milked a crap.
They've done a fucking amazing job, though, haven't they?
They've done it really
it's so easy to take a license as popular as Star Wars and just slap it on any old crap
rubbish,
and get it out there.
Well, if they take it away from FFG at that point,
well,
I
doubt they will because there must be
the sales
so much
roof.
Money.
Yeah.
Look at X-Wing, Yavin was this
Didn't
weekend.
Warhammer take away their license?
They did,
yeah. Games Workshop took away their license.
Don't know why that is.
Yeah,
my thought is
because
they changed their CEO. And I think he wanted a bit of a more like, we're going to do it. Exactly.
Because they make board games as well now, so I guess they probably thought, why are we letting someone else make games for us when we can make our own games?
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're good at
it. And I think they want to... They've got
FFG are better at making games.
They went on an IP rampage as well, didn't they? Yeah. Like they
hand their IP out to any game developer.
Yeah, there's no quality control on Games Workshop's computer games. It's crazy. Yeah. It's a shame, though, because Conquest was an excellent card game.
Yeah.
I'll miss that. It's a shame that's not going to keep getting more expansions.
Yeah, you could play it, I guess.
Still, you can still play it, still exists. It's just going to get stale meta-wise, isn't it, if there's not new expansions.
True.
I guess all the price of that's rocketing for a short period of time.
Yeah. Mm. Well, back to Star Wars, I think, Yavin with, 400 players, and 395 players this weekend.
Yeah.
X-Wing.
X-Wing's super popular. One day they'll all grow up and graduate to Armada.
Ooh, confidential.
Is that their regional?
No, it's they have this System Open Series thing, which is, they're exceptional... tournaments, and they're named after different systems from the X-Wing lore. So there's a Hoth and a Yavin, and I can't remember. There's one in America recently. I can't remember. I mean, they have four. Do they have? Is it seven or eight a year?
Oh, man, you tell me.
And then they have, and then at the Star Wars Celebration every year, which is the big that was at the UK last year in London. I think it's in Florida this year.
Mm-hmm.
They have all the winners of those events, and they play off in a super an invitational Star Wars X-Wing invitational. But they have, it's not just turn up and bring you a list.
Mm.
They have weird events like you have draft X-Wing. You have to draft different ships. And they also have public voted lists.
Oh,
so
wow.
You have you say what your faction is. So yeah. Public go, right, you can have
it's
a B-Wing.
Janky
you can
combination
have this
of weird
jack.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so they have...
three shuttles,
so
good luck.
You've got to prove you're a really good X-Wing player. I mean, I'm not that, to get into that invitation, you've got to be a great player anyway. Because you can't win a 395-player tournament by netlisting without practicing,
Yeah, because every fucker's there's netlisting.
Exactly.
That's not going to get
you. I was just watching some of the feed, and it was all bloody Manaroo lists.
Yeah, then it was.
It's all the same list, so the top tables. So
I guess there's just not enough players currently to even try that with Armada.
The thing with X-Wing, because it's shorter, you can
do more rounds. So you can distill the better players better, because if you're playing eight rounds... That really separates the better players from
that's you. One thing we should probably discuss at some point with people is how can we bring down I think when we talked about a lesser point game of Armada to speed things up to make quicker games an hour long, an hour and a half.
I like the long games.
I like the long
games. Argue that if you want to go and play X-Wing, FFG don't want to compete
with themselves
at different levels. They go, if you want to play that, play X-Wing, and then if you want to play the longer, more deeper thing, play Armada.
Yeah.
If you cut the time down too drastically, you do cut out some of the depth and the strategy.
And you'd have to cut out some stuff to not be even usable.
You probably couldn't have flotillas if you're trying to do a time DM.
Or even...
You just chess clock it and just go, bam! You get
death clock.
War Machine, and then just go. If you take whatever complicated list you want, if you can't play it fast enough, you dead.
But even then, you probably have to give each player an hour, and you're still at 2 hours a round.
Mm-hmm.
You could say 15 minutes.
We lost that anyway in the 5-round tournament. If you didn't do your turn in time, wasn't it?
Yeah,
they cut it off.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Right, should we wrap it up?
Great. Yeah. Yeah. So if you have any correspondence, send it to our email address, which Ricky knows off the top of his head.
We will put in the show notes.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
Comsnoiseuk@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Hooray! But yeah, seriously, let us know what you like and what you don't like.
I reckon we should read some mail out at the start of next podcast.
Yeah.
We'll read a few out and answer them.
If you send it in,
we'll read it out for next time. Other than that, we've got a tournament coming up, so episode 7, hopefully.
2 weeks time?
We'll look for 2 to 3 weeks time. I think the tournament's in 2 weeks, so maybe in the week maybe following the week after. And then we'll also have part 2 of our upgrade review. Let us know if you like that, the format, if you have any suggestions. Always looking for feedback. You know, we sometimes get involved in our little meta chat at times, so you know it's always good to know whether we're pitching it at the right level.
Just to know what other people's metas like would be interesting.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Like, do you disagree
around the world?
Would some of our builds and theories just not work against the guys you play against? Yeah. Let us know. That'd be really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
we want to hear from you.
Build the community because there's a few podcasts out there now and picking up pace a lot. So like the regional, 47 people in Cardiff doesn't sound like that much compared to Yemen, but that's massive.
It's
bigger than nationals last year. And it's 3 times what regionals were getting last year.
Mm.
Excellent.
It is growing quickly, which is great.
So what's the sale on nationals so far?
We don't even know when it is.
There isn't a nationals. About 30, I think, they've sold so far. But the thing is, because a lot of the games, they're all at the same time, and they didn't do like nationals where you can do one day and another one. You've got to do it's 3 day styles a mile if you make the cut.
Still didn't even know if I'm going to go.
It's a 3 day expo. It's only 3 day game. The rest of the expo is never 3 day.
No, I'm going to see it. You've got to pay to go.
Exactly. You've got to make the cut, which is only top 4, I think. It might only be top 2, actually, for Armada. So it's good to see it growing. So, yeah, we want to keep that up, send that in. And we're hoping to launch a Facebook page soon, so keep an eye out for that. Check out for the Comms Noise Facebook page. We'll post up some of our pictures and what we're up to and keep you updated with what we're doing when. So
thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Cheerio.